Yeah, right, we're recording.
Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order. I want to thank everybody for coming. Is everybody here? Good.
Here, Dave.
First thing
the
on
Church
the resolution
of Jesus Christ
is
of Latter-day
to approve.
Wants to save you.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Excuse the minutes. Approve the minutes from last month, and we all got them emailed to us. And everybody. No changes, they all look fine.
I'll move it.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion, a second. Any discussion on the minutes?
Nope.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried 6-0.
No one
or 5-0. He wasn't here last month, so he can't vote. Okay. We'll go through the resolutions. This first resolution, I think, has been on here just about every month we've been here. Resolution 54.1, amending the rules of order to participate participation on standing committees.
I'll move it. Kev?
I don't see the purpose if we're just going to pass it tonight and have it sent back to committee. I think it should just die here at this point.
I agree. I mean, it's just not...
Wait, you can't have discussion. We either have to have a move in the second or not.
There's no second.
Move it to discuss it.
I was discussing the move.
You don't have that luxury. I'm sorry, legislator.
Right. Okay, help me out
it's pretty lenient here.
Move it for discussion there, Kev.
I'll second it.
Okay.
There we go.
All right, we've been over this again.
Okay.
And I really don't think it's needed. I mean, we've had this discussion that we already are, you know, basically... All this is already in line as it is.
No, it's not.
It got kicked out because what happened was the chairman basically allowed somebody to step down. He didn't have to, but he decided to do that. And I certainly understand where he came from. So I would say, no, we don't really need this change. So let's move on and let's see. On to more important business.
Okay. Let's say to Ronk.
Thank you. Was my impression that the reason that it was referred back to committee last month was because there were people in the Democratic caucus who had some individual changes that they would have liked to see made. I know Dave was going to vote no anyway, and that's perfectly fine. I will be once again exercising. If it does fail this committee, I will again be exercising my. Right, as a legislator that given to the rules to exercise the petition to discharge, I think that it deserves a vote by the full legislature. And I feel like I have to put this on record now. There may have been some and present company, well, maybe Dave, but present company accepted, who voted to refer this resolution back to committee last month because it had the votes to pass and they didn't want to see that happen. And they wanted, just like Kevin said, to Legislator Roberts, that is, to have it come back and die in committee. Thank God the rules don't, you know, require that happens. So anyway, I feel like this has been vetted. This has been discussed. We've had at least one entire special meeting devoted to it. Consenting to changes, making it better. I think that it's something that should move forward. I'm very disappointed in certain legislators who seemed to have concerns last month, and so we referred it back to committee. And nobody who I think had those concerns are here to bring changes and bring something to the discussion. So that's. It's disappointing, but it's not surprising.
Mr. Chairman.
Sir Donaldson.
Again, as I said, it's really it's unnecessary. It doesn't accomplish anything in the end. All it does is create some slight micromanaging and doesn't really accomplish anything. And I really think that it's better to just move on unless you really want to come up with something much more intensive, I guess. I don't know. But then again, it becomes the same thing. When you over-regulate, you create more problems. And you're really trying to over-regulate at this point. We don't need it. It got kicked off. We all know why it got kicked off. Because Legislator Wishnick said that he wouldn't serve on something. But that could have been solved very easily. Either John could have made him serve, or switched him around. They just said, fine, then don't serve. Eventually, he's on a committee now. In fact, he's on a couple of committees. So I don't think it's needed. But that's the way I look at it. I think it's just dark. I think there's a lot of politics involved in it. And I know that, you know, you may argue with me on that, Ken, but I know very well.
May.
I knew very well the motivation was to slap around a certain legislator, and that's fine.
Okay.
I think he's had his slaps. Let's move on.
Okay, Legislator Bartels.
Can I? No. I'm sorry.
And I was not real happy with
Legislator Bartels.
I'm sorry.
That's
all right. Thank you. Thanks for letting me participate, too. Just to take a step back, in the Democratic caucus last month, I think for those of us who were there, it became apparent to everyone it was going to pass on the floor. And subsequently, there was discussion in the Democratic caucus about changes. And I think that at least there was the consensus at that time, then let's get it back to committee if it's going to pass and get these changes. Now, I wasn't someone who raised the changes, though I thought that some of them were good. And I wish that the people who raised them, I spoke to Ken in the interim, I wish that the people who raised them had reached out to Ken or put them in writing. Came tonight. One thing that I do remember, which made sense to me, is that someone brought up the fact that if the prior to the minority and majority leaders submitting their suggestions to the chair, that the chair advised the minority and majority leader of how many people on each individual committee they were going to be suggesting, and also what committees they were planning on suggesting, because as we know, some years there are different committees, and also some years a committee like this might have 5 and the next year it might have 7, and that might help the majority and minority leader to focus their suggestions from the best abilities of their caucus, which made sense to me as, again, dealing in the reality if this is going to pass. That made sense to me as a suggestion. It is a little frustrating that we're kind of like working backwards again, that, you know, it came back here, and I apologize that you're...
No, it is,
you
know, what
I
it
see
is.
Your frustration.
Let's say
a nice compromise for you.
What's that?
I was open to a compromise.
Oh. I'll let Dave talk about his compromise first, and then I'll discuss his points.
If you want to sit in there and just point out that, just to make it very simple, the only change would be that every county legislator must serve on at least one standing committee, unless for some reason it's something different. All the other stuff, the hell with it, and that's it. Let's move on. I know all the other.
Isn't that what I started with?
Yes, but he got all convoluted.
It's February all over
unless
again.
Is that what it first?
It's essentially exactly what it started with.
Well, you know, if I might just
unless the chairman says it? No.
I just I understand where this is coming from,
Mr. Chairman.
But you know, it says the person must serve on one committee they choose. Just because you told me the best thing since lined paper doesn't mean you are the best thing since lined paper. Just because you say I've been here 20 years makes me the most qualified doesn't mean that. The other half is whomever sits in that silly chair wants people that are going to work with them. And sometimes when you're forced to put somebody on something that is not going to work with them, or maybe not that good, I think it's wrong. You got to serve on one committee. I mean, look at, he says I could have not said it, me or whoever else is there. What's the sense of making somebody do something they don't
right.
want?
Right, I know. I understand where you came from. Right.
Dave.
Again,
he's got the floor.
All right, well, I'm done.
Can I
talk it for the night?
No, you can't. Let's say
I'm sorry. I've lost some control.
And to go back to a couple of your points, Dave, because I feel like I have to put them on record now, the politics portion
the
of
committee.
It. I apologize. The politics portion of it, saying that I was playing politics and that... it was about one single person. that individual is now serving on a committee. This would no longer apply to him, and yet I'm still in favor of it, and I'm still pushing for it, because it's not about the person, it's about the procedure, and it's about the integrity of the legislative process, which I think is best served having everybody participate as long as they are able.
So do you like by compromise?
I love it, Dave. Most of the stuff that's in here.
We have a motion and a second on the floor. So we're talking about the resolution now.
On the resolution. I think Dave's proposing an amendment.
Can I offer that everything is taken out except for the very idea that.
No, because we can't do that, though.
I'll raise my hand.
Go ahead.
Ken, Dave,
You can't take everything out because there are. In addition to the requirement for each legislator to serve in one committee, there's also protection from a misuse of the power of the chair by putting people on an excessive number of committees, or there's also outs for when you're ill, or with a family reason.
The one would be out, or you're ill, and that's it.
Erica's going to speak quick.
Yes. I just want to bring to your attention, Mr. Chairman, that one of the things that when Leader Ronk was bringing this up was in the rules of order, it says if there's any point of order that is not addressed in our rules, like we go to the assembly rules. And Leader Ronk had me look at both the assembly and the rules of order for both the assembly and the Senate. And both of them specifically state that that each legislator is supposed to serve on committees. In fact, the Senate limits it to 7. And the assembly says at least 6. So I think that's one of the things is just making it clear, because our rules of order does not specifically address it. And it does say to make it very clear that, and have a level playing field for all the legislators. So I think that's one of the intentions here, is to just highlight it's elucidated a hole in our rules that is actually specifically addressed by the legislature that we would look to in the event that we have an issue. We go and we look at the state legislature and how they operate. So that I'm just suggesting that to you, that we're not being inconsistent with what's already being done by our state legislature and other legislatures, okay. County legislatures as well, by this particular rule change. It's not extraordinary.
Okay. Thank you. No, Legislator Archer.
I do remember a couple of points that came up in our conversation. One was the one Tracy pointed out, which was the number of seats and the number of and committees that were available. The other thing was if people aren't selected for the committee they want, there needs to be an explanation about that. And that was one of the other caveats I think somebody put on the table. But having said all that, if we go ahead and put that one piece in, I'd rather have a process than not a process. And it was a politicized issue. We recognize, you and I, Ken, had
no, that
conversation.
Fine.
And I think we're past the politicization of the issue, and if we're going to do it, maybe adding the clarification around committees and the number of bodies in each committee makes it something palatable that everybody can, kind of get around. Maybe not everyone.
I'm not
beating this up.
I'm not 100% opposed to putting that in. I think that happens in the natural course of business anyway, and I also think that that would be Section G, letter B there. I think that, that would be where it would come in, sort of. The majority and minority leaders will meet with the newly appointed chairperson to present the legislator's requests and provide insight to the chairman or chairperson regarding each legislator's knowledge, experience, and interests. I think that that's sort of where the chairman would let each leader know how many seats were available on each committee. But if we want to put a step before that in there, go ahead.
Just a point of clarification that, the committees will be, stating what the committees will be and the number of bodies. I think that's the one thing that everybody, if that's the added level, we've kind of removed it from being a political issue because we've put a lot behind us. It's come back to committee. If that's the one piece.
Let's sit down.
I get back there. Well, and actually, John brought it up. He said it very succinctly. Is the idea, when you serve as the chair, you have to have leeway. You're the one that was elected to serve as the chair. Hence, You know, if you feel people aren't going to work with you, oh well, they're not going to work with you. If they are, sometimes people come around after the fact, you change it up. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, I did my 4 years in the sentencing as the chairman, and I did my sentence, and I did what I had to do when I had to do it. But, I mean, the very idea that, and, I mean, I removed people from committees, I put them on committees. If it wasn't working out, if they did certain things, whatever. I mean, but you've got to have, you know, the chairman has to have some power. Otherwise, you know, why have it? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, we have a strong executive form of government. We need a chairman that also has some strength.
So we still going to move forward with this? You want to call a vote?
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to. If Lynn wants to come up with wording for an amendment, I'm open.
I'm not putting any more words.
You want to wait till next one? Right.
No. I mean, because we've been waiting for this since February, and I'm
still
getting kind of tired of it.
Still changing. Yeah. Although I don't want to talk about another month either.
I don't either.
Here.
All right.
Give me, you know, give me 30 seconds.
I think, can I just say?
Oh, I'm sorry.
But no, I mean, since you're working on the words, I think that it would be before the meeting, though, Ken. Because I think the idea is that if a majority or minority leader had 8 people requesting laws and rules and knew that there were only 4 slots, the majority or minority leader might only suggest, you know, a certain number of those 8 to the chair. Not that the majority or minority leader is just a straight, you know, pass the message man. I think
hey, you put
some
in there
seniority feeling where people are thinking that the guy that you're the woman or the guy that's serving his chair is a complete idiot and can't figure all these things out. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's all micromanaging about when, you know, it happens before everything and it happened this time.
But Dave, the reality is it's going to pass.
I don't care if it passes or not.
I haven't decided
what
I'm
voting. I could care less.
I'll vote yes.
I just think it's wrong
to get it to the floor.
Shouldn't be done. It's a waste of a lot of time.
I know. Okay.
Why add something? Add it. You
that's
add
where
it
we were
more
at
to
last
it.
Month.
My take on it, if you want to put just a plain thing and say somebody has to serve,
but it's ready fine.
They have to serve with the caveats that if they're sick, if their mother doesn't want them to serve, or whatever the case may be, the chairman could say no.
I really can hear both sides of this argument.
I can as well.
Yeah, I really can see the strength in both sides of the argument. I feel very truly. What is that word?
Torn?
No.
Conflicted?
Ambivalent. Ambivalent. In the truest sense.
Really ambivalent.
That's when you can believe in both.
They both have merits, and you just gotta.
I used to think ambivalent was like you didn't care so much.
Pardon me.
Okay, can we move this?
Yes. I've got an amendment. I'm proposing an amendment. It will create a new Section B, moving Sections B and C to C and D. And it will read, within 7 days after the legislature's organizational meeting, the chairperson of the legislature shall inform the majority and minority leaders of the whole number of seats available on each committee.
What happens now? Pretty much.
I am just absolutely going out of my way to please people.
So you're making a motion to amend. We need
right?
a second. Mr. Chairman, we need a second on the motion to amend.
That's it.
I'll make sure I give it to
him. He doesn't have a second.
Move it. Pass it quick.
I don't have a second.
I'm going to vote no for it.
Any second on that?
I'll second it.
There we go.
Okay, let's vote. Let's call the question. All right, all in favor?
First on the amendment. Yeah. You have to first vote on the amendment.
No.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
No, because the original thing hasn't been passed yet.
No, you have to vote on the amendment,
amendment,
and then you vote on the resolution. You can't vote on resolution without having the amendment.
Yeah, but the resolution hasn't been passed yet, so there is no resolution.
The resolution is what's here in front of us.
I know that, but you amend it after it's passed committee. When you're in committee, you're formulating the resolution.
It already passed committee. It's back
you can amend
committee.
The committee now.
Our rules allow us to amend it.
Check the rules.
It was out of committee last time.
As long as it's not in the day of session or
vote to amend
at the going of the age of Aquarius.
So it can be amended.
So on the amendment.
On the amendment. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carried.
Legislator Donaldson appeared for or against the amendment?
Does the word...
Right,
say ask me anything.
I don't believe so.
It's inappropriate. Right,
no. Okay, let's get going. Let's get to the...
So on the resolution...
On the resolution, any discussion?
And John, you were a yes vote on that?
I don't have to vote if I'm here.
Oh, that's all right.
I think you might have to.
So it's...
The resolution passed 4-1.
It's ambiguous, you win.
Yeah. All right, on the resolution. All in favor?
Aye.
No.
Aye. Opposed? One. No.
Oh, yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, you're a yes?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So pass 4-1.
Can I just, thank point you. Of order? Yeah. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, ma'am.
If you don't mind... Because I am a little about the rules.
Go ahead.
Okay. See, if you are here, you have to participate, because what happens is, it says the chairman's presence at a meeting shall be counted in determining whether a quorum is present. However, the presence of the chairman at such a meeting will not increase the number of votes necessary to pass a particular matter unless all sitting members are present. With all members being present,
you become six.
So now with your presence, you have to vote. Because we need four to pass something in committee.
His presence.
Well, if he doesn't vote, then he's a no.
Then you know what? Then you need to leave.
You got four, didn't you?
Yes, I'm just saying to you that you need to participate.
I don't think it actually says he has to participate.
I don't think he can kick the chair out.
No, but I'm saying... But I'm just saying to you with his presence
just saying,
here.
Oh, yes or no?
Right. I mean, that's a rule that I actually had put in because I had.
All right. Let's come on.
I just wanted to say.
You have to vote. Yes.
Yes.
Or no. Okay. So pass 5-2.
So I'm not trying to be.
No, that's fine. The rules are the rules.
So I think
5-1,
you're right.
Right.
Although his presence, it does change the quorum. It doesn't change the quorum needed to pass, but it changes what the earlier it would have been, that whole discussion.
Okay, resolution number 124, setting a public hearing
on...
signed
under my name.
Come on, Dave. Oops. That's all right, just sign under his name. Nobody looks at those anyway. Resolution number 124, setting a public hearing on proposed local law...
Said it wrong. Excuse me.
Number 2 of 2014, a local law to provide for the collection of village real property taxes to be held Tuesday, July 15th at 7 p.m.
Oh, yes.
Any discussion?
I'll move it.
Yeah, move it.
Okay.
Second.
Legislator Donaldson seconds.
I'm always in favor of the public being heard, not necessarily yes when it comes to the floor for a vote, but I've never voted against a public hearing since I've been here, and I intend to continue that.
Okay,
I agree. I don't agree with him on that. I mean, if you don't believe in something, that doesn't mean you have to do that. But anyway, I support the idea of the villages being made all. I think, and I really think there's been an overestimation.
Yeah.
Easy for you to say. That it's going to cost all this more, and that. To do that, because I don't believe it is. I mean, right now they have people that are doing it part-time in the villages, and of course the ones that are probably doing the worst at it is Ellenville.
There you go.
Having said that, I think in the end,
I got it.
The county really will not really lose much on this, if anything, in fact may gain, because what happens is when they sell the properties, if they sell the property for higher than what the tax lien on it is, it goes all to the county. So, and we're one of the few counties left that do not do that. So I support this just as I supported the safety.
Okay, let's set it wrong.
I'm just reading this again, and I mean, have you taken a look at this?
It looks like we're not
making the villages whole so much as we're going to collect the taxes for them, or maybe doing both, but. Is that the intention, to collect the taxes as well as reimburse
collect
them
the
for...
Collect the taxes that are not delinquent? No. They have a tax collector, just like Olive has one and Chongum has one.
Right.
It's when they're delinquent and enter into the phase of being in jeopardy.
Language. I think it's maybe Ken's referring to this language.
The Section 2, the chairman of the legislature shall is authorized to enter into agreements with Ulster County villages providing for the collection of tax liens.
That hasn't come up yet.
Oh, okay. I'm reading it now, and I'm just...
I'll have to ask.
That's fine.
Cappy,
so just for a point of clarification, it's not just helping them with foreclose and the foreclose process and auctioning process, but also like what happens at the town level, we reimburse the towns
correct.
Within how many days of it coming to the and make them whole, correct?
Correct.
That's what this is.
Yep.
Is
that's really
I thought that was the intent.
And what about retroactive? I mean, I see nothing in here because it's how much is outstanding today?
$1 million today.
Yeah, so does that mean that this is
no, it's from here on out.
The towns understand that.
The village.
It's not going back. The village.
Right.
It's not going backwards.
I mean, something...
Hotels.
Two things. On that point, on the retroactive point, we, in last week's caucus, I asked that question, and in terms of, we can have the public hearing, but I would like to see codified that it's not retroactive. If it's not retroactive, I don't want to have it. It's understanding from the town. It needs to be in the document that we're voting on.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then my second point in section one, this is kind of what Ken Ronk was just talking about. Section one, legislative intent and findings. The third paragraph, in most places that I see, they talked about collection of tax liens or delinquent taxes. But in the third paragraph, it says to enter into agreements with the villages of Ellenville, New Paltz, and Saugerties relating to the collection of real property taxes. I don't know if that language is important to specify.
It has to do with the bills being sent out. In other words, it has to do with the way the bills are sent out, I believe, is what you're talking about. In other words,
I'm just saying maybe that language needs to say.
I think it should be delinquent.
It needs to, maybe that language, that third paragraph needs to specify.
She's in the first page, third paragraph.
Section one, third paragraph. The Ulster County Legislature seeks to authorize the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into agreements with the villages of Ellenville, New Paltz, and Saugerties relating to the collection of real property taxes. That's the only place I see in the document that doesn't say
delinquent
or tax liens. So that I would want to see that language changed.
Well, that's one of our jobs here.
The county wouldn't even collect delinquent. The county, the delinquent would go to the village. It would make the village whole.
Well,
you know, because people can be a year too late. It doesn't go to auction or foreclosure. Only after 3 years. So if somebody's delinquent a year, you wouldn't pay the county your taxes. You would still pay them to the village. You'd pay a penalty, but the county doesn't want to get involved until it's foreclosed.
Forgive me, that's not true.
Once taxes become delinquent, the county then makes the village whole and then takes on the responsibility of collecting the taxes.
And they get relevied. They actually get relevied first. And then when they're not paid, then
I didn't think the county got involved until year three.
No,
right away.
They get relevied.
Year three is
once we make them whole,
my bad.
So anyway, I believe that third paragraph should be changed to reflect that we're
talking
about.
We're probably going to have to amend it on the floor.
This references Article
11,
which is it's a section that deals with the delinquent.
No, John's here. If we wanted to amend it here, with his...
That would be
past ways and means.
You referenced Article 11, but not every town is under Article 11.
One of the villages, New Paltz, is out of the old Article 10.
Right. And the other two, Saugerties and... are under 11.
New Paltz may opt, not opt in anyway.
Well, by their request. This is saying they would have to request this, right? The town would have to, or village would have to.
They have to pass. We wouldn't have the
resolution
force taxes
on or a local law.
If they're interested in,
that's correct. They do not have to do it.
Anyway, section two, which does the authorization, says the chair is authorized to enter into agreements with the Ulster County villages, providing for the collection of tax liens. So I don't know why that paragraph couldn't say relating to the collection of tax liens instead of real property taxes.
How about tax liens from the point of this being passed?
Right. No, and I also want to see some
Can I? Where did you say that? Might
it has to qualify.
I thought at the end. Did I?
It doesn't say going.
Yeah,
we're in the authorization.
But
the language
is
authorized.
It doesn't talk about it.
For collection of taxes. No, it needs to be qualified. If it's just for delinquent. Because right now it covers Chairman Bart for giving me.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
In this instance, Legislator Bartels is indeed correct. It covers all collection of all tax liens. It would be, if the intention here is to just do it for delinquent taxes, then it should be qualified in Section 2. Because Section 1 is legislative findings, but the enactment clause is actually in Section 2. And as I interpret this, this language authorizes collection of all tax liens for the villages. And I don't believe that's the intention here. So it should be delinquent for the collection of delinquent taxes.
So the collection of delinquent taxes on real property, so you get rid of tax liens?
Get rid of tax liens and replace it with delinquent taxes.
Yes.
Right. And can we just do the same in that third paragraph also? Just
I'm fine.
I feel like it would sound better. Consistent. Yeah. I would agree with that.
Do you want delinquent real property taxes? Is that
delinquent? Yeah, village
tax.
That's
coming up for too.
I'll make that amendment as long as the chairman consents to it.
And you also see the tax.
We're gonna have to make it on the floor tomorrow.
No, we can make it here. Yeah, they can pass it again tomorrow. We will essentially send it to Ways and Means.
Okay.
Because one of our jobs under the rules is to to vet resolutions or local laws that is for the legalities. So.
Blah, blah, woof, woof, woof.
Yeah. There you go. Blah blah woof.
Can
woof,
I just
exactly.
clarify? The amendment is to add the word in the third paragraph under section one, delinquent, in front of real property taxes,
mm-hmm.
and in section two, in the first paragraph, to the second line. Adding for the collection of delinquent real property taxes.
But you'd also need it in the fourth paragraph of legislative intent findings.
Mm-hmm.
Collection of
real property.
I would say delinquent. Collection of delinquent taxes on real property.
Taxes.
One more edit, if I may. We talked about the retroactive, so ensuring that this is from the point it's approved forward and does not cover retroactively.
Well, you
have somewhere we have to.
I mean, it's sort of the point is when they request it.
Right.
But it has
right.
to be in this.
Okay. So
not today or tomorrow. It's when they request it.
Well, but I think Legislator Archer brings, if I may,
hey,
brings a good point because.
Hello. Ask him about that right now.
Hello.
Well, yes, ma'am.
You know what, because it's conceivable that this gets enacted this year, and then there's already 2 years. People are already 2 years
That's
delinquent.
What I was saying.
Yeah.
So do you know? So are we talking about those who are delinquent in? Listen to what 2 years? Sorry, 2012. Sorry, it's been a long day. 2012. Or are we talking about people that are becoming delinquent as of 2014?
Which is and or think, as of that's what I said in caucus.
I think that
was the point. Is that I didn't? That was what I was
and
saying
I don't think
in caucus.
Also, do they have the same? I mean, this is gonna maybe this is gonna get stupid, but do they have the same fees and penalties, or would our fees and penalties automatically take precedent if we if we do the delinquency?
No, we would get the fees and penalties. They're not doing the work. We are.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure because I don't know that that's the case. If it's yeah. a if it's a village property, I don't know.
I don't think so because I don't know, Ken. Because I know the cities and the villages are different.
Article 11 establishes a uniform percentage.
Does it have a uniform percentage or does it have a uniform maximum percentage?
Let me ask you a question on the other piece. Now, what happens, like, for instance, Joe Blow is delinquent, but he was delinquent last year.
See, he's been delinquent for 4 years.
But he's just delinquent that last year. And we take over. And he's a delinquent again this year. So we make him whole for just the 1 year,
yeah.
correct? And then the following year, when he's delinquent, then we put it up for sale. But they still owe the delinquent taxes from the year before that was prior to.
Well, that would be Jim. Thought that would be a responsibility of the town.
No,
the village. Oh, excuse me, the village.
I don't think so.
Not the way we're writing this.
You have to be careful because it kicks in at 3 years.
You know what? Can I just? No, this has been vetted by the lawyers for about 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks now.
You know what?
First, I heard
if the village is.
We talked about this at length at caucus last week and the time before. We talked about. I mean, I said, is this going to be retroactive? Kathy said
it
wasn't
not.
Sure, and I said, but I said it needs to be in here, and you said,
but here's
it's going to need
Trace,
to be in here, it needs to be in here.
If somebody owes 2 years of property tax,
yeah.
and then this resolution passes, village taxes, 1 year, next year they're back on village taxes, now they're 3 years. Does the county start foreclosing proceedings?
Again,
I would assume they would have to start.
And then if they sell the property, do they give them 2 years of back taxes?
No. Can you ask that question one more time? I didn't follow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the
county's 2 years back, a village homeowner, property owner is 2 years back on
yeah.
taxes.
Okay.
This resolution gets passed. They then, in their next village tax bill, go 3 years back. The county now makes the village whole for this 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're 3 years back. When does the county start foreclosure proceedings?
They would start.
Dave, stop.
All right.
Do they? And if they sell, if they do it in year this year,
to us, I think you have to buy the whole book.
Do they make it whole for when they sell the property? Do they make the county keeps their percentage and then they make them the whole for the two prior years?
You can't piecemeal it.
They would have to. They would have to. All right, the county comes in, does the auction. So once they do the auction, the money they get, there's liens still on there. The village has a lien from those 2 years. So they would have to give the village that 2 years once they collect it, because they have a lien.
Legislator Archer, just a point of clarification.
Today, are we? We're not making them whole on delinquent, but are we? We're not handling their foreclosure process either.
Right.
So whatever we do, I think it would be difficult. I think we have to put a stake in the ground.
No, going forward, we're going to handle their foreclosure process.
Yes.
Going forward,
do they have a 3 year process where the town then puts it up?
Well, it's
for
the
auction?
Counties.
And it's I understand, but if they're not, if the village isn't being administered,
no, the county's doing it for us.
Okay, that's my question.
Elmville doesn't enforce. There's years and years and years of delinquent taxes.
Tracy's next.
That's fine.
Which means you are, after 3 years, you're auctioning.
Well,
exactly. The county is doing that already, correct?
Well, for the county lien, yes. Yeah, we take
just
the
only for the county,
only for the
county
portion.
Or towns.
Yeah.
Or the villages and the towns, yeah.
No, not villages now. Yeah. County
well,
and
it's
town.
County. Well, I'm just city. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get clarity. It's county and school taxes that are reimbursed to the school, and the county then takes over the property for the purposes
Listen.
Of.
No. Legislator Bartels is next. Come on.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Legislator Ron Finney. Archer. I'm sorry. I'm
May
so
I
used to
say
too quiet. No, we've got a process. Legislator Archer.
Just trying to get clarity of where the village kicks in, because I think the point has been made. We can't piecemeal and pick and choose when retroactivity takes place. So we have to have some clarity, I would think, if we were going to do this.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to understand. That's what I brought up at caucus, because if we can't put a stake in the ground where we only start right now, where we're not dealing with anyone who's already delinquent, because to your point, Lynn, if I understand what's happening in Ellenville, there are properties in Ellenville where people have been paying their county taxes, paying their school taxes, and not paying their village taxes, potentially, say, for 10 years.
Right.
The minute we take that over, mm-hmm. boom, the delinquents starts ticking. But is the village going to come to us and say, well, this property hasn't paid us for 10 years.
No, we've already discussed that. When this law is passed, county's not making them whole for anything backwards, just forward.
I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about when it gets auctioned. Is the village going to
Well, if the village has a lien on it, then they may have to give them the money. But if it gets sold, who cares?
I don't think so. Because
that's the point.
If it gets sold, who cares?
Can I say something real quick, Rich?
I feel like it becomes a mess.
Why? Legislator Ronk.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jeff Kaplan talked about a situation down in Ellenville where somebody from the county went to a client of his and said, listen, I know you're really delinquent, but if you want to stave this off, just pay your county taxes, and then you won't get foreclosed on your county or your school taxes.
And I took offense.
What I envisioned this was we start today and move forward, whatever day it is, mm-hmm. and you move forward.
Okay, let the Legislative Bartels finish, and then Legislative Ronk and Eric.
Because I don't know how these percentages work out, but I don't know how long the village has been letting it go. But conceivably, you could have a property, and this is the concern, you could have a property that hasn't been paying its village taxes for, I mean, what's the length, 20 years, and it gets sold for $40,000, and the village taxes could exceed what we're selling it for. So now we owe the village.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, because the village has a lien. The village has a lien. So I'm not talking about making it.
Then you
it
don't
whole.
Accept the sale. Or the village is going to say, we're going to take $10,000. Or we're going to take $2,000. We're willing to get
work. Me personally, I like this idea, but I would like to see it start like from a point. And
it is. But
and
somebody's
not us dealing with any of these back taxes.
Let me let Cappy speak then.
I think if you read section 2.
Tracy, you're overthinking it.
I'm not overthinking. I actually agree with her. I'm not overthinking. She surprised her.
I'm sorry.
I actually
Well, I'm just saying that I think, well, because you... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You had your hand up before. No, you were.
I just, you know, the tax year, see, the one of the dilemmas here is that the tax years, the fiscal years for each taxing entity are not consistent. The village is run from June 1 through May 31st. What I would suggest, and I think you make a very good point, Legislator Bartels, we can make it starting the fiscal year of 2015, and then from there
you're
out.
You're not making policy decisions. You just
I'm
say it's legal.
I'm sorry.
Well, right.
I'm objecting.
Wow. Yeah, you
no,
just talked the law. You don't have to.
That's
suggest.
No. I'm sorry. Was that, where was I?
She's participating like she's a member. Yeah.
No. I'm saying.
I don't
you,
think so. No, I think
I'm
that
talking about
no.
The legal part of it. No. This is legal because see what happens is that they're going to close out their books as of May 31st. I'm talking the legal part. I'm not talking policy. I'm just making a suggestion because then they'll be able to know prospectively how they want to proceed. I'm just saying because of their fiscal years. I'm not making policy, Chairman. I'm just suggesting because of the practical part of it all, and that way you can make it so that they can make a plan. That's all.
You know, let me just say something. You know, we can talk about all this. The bottom line is village taxpayers pay taxes just like Town of Gardner residents, Town of Marbletown residents, Town of Shongham residents. Who cares if we go retroactive? They're paying taxes. We should have been doing this all along. It's actually, most other counties do it. Westchester does it. A lot of progressive, forward-thinking counties do this for their villages.
Westchester County is not the senior lien holder on the properties there.
What are
it's
they making
the
them
towns
whole?
Are
what are
the,
they making them whole?
I don't know if each town makes the villages
the
whole.
Towns make the towns county.
That's correct. The towns make the county whole in Westchester.
But it's the same difference.
It's the same. So the bottom line is we can sit here and say, well, if the village hasn't had the resources to do it for the last 15 years, their people are paying county taxes just like our constituents are paying county taxes. Provide them the same service. Do we say don't send our sheriff's department into Rosendale because they have a police force and Marbletown and Rochester don't? No. We all do things together. The county moves forward together. Everybody works together. Some counties have a little better benefit at times than other counties. Bottom line is Village of Ellenville taxpayers pay taxes, given the same benefit everybody else gets. It shouldn't even be in this issue, right? This should have been solved years ago. Legislator Ronkin and Legislator Donaldson.
Well, I sort of have a rhetorical question I'll ask first. We have all these problems in Ellenville. We're hearing about problems in Ellenville. I don't hear about these widespread problems in the villages of Saugerties and New Paltz. So is there something that New Paltz and Saugerties are doing that they're not?
They're not as high needs area as the village of Ellenville.
They all support
unemployment,
this, though.
Yeah. Village of Ellenville is 20%
unemployment. Who wouldn't support somebody else doing your job?
That's not their job. Then let's tell the towns we're not going to do it for them in the school districts.
But
let's
that's
be
fine.
Fair to everybody.
Can I? No, you can't.
Legislator Ronk finish and Legislator Donce. Either we should do everybody's or we should do nobody's. That would be the common sense thing to do. Instead of picking and choosing who we're going to do it for. You've done Legislator Ronk, or you want to let Dave go?
Let Dave go, because I'm sure he's going to say something that's going to make me want to say something back. So.
No problem. I had some concerns, and I talked to Cappy at one point about it, and we run this is a legislative decision, not the attorney's decisions. I don't like it.
There was.
She's in the debate, or him. In fact, I've said something to you once about it. In other words, they are called on when we ask them a question, and that's when we get an answer. No offense, I'm sorry. I've done the same thing. I've done the same thing with Bea Branick in Rome. The point is, we make those decisions, not the attorneys. We ask them for decisions. Okay?
Can I go now?
That's it.
Excellent. May I, Mr. Chairman?
Legislator Ronk.
Thank you very much. I respectfully disagree with what you say that minority counsel was doing right there. I think Legislator Bartels was bringing up what she would like to see in it, and the attorney was suggesting language that would do what Legislator Bartels was looking to do. I don't think that somebody has to ask specifically for from what you're saying. I disagree with you. Nor was she making a decision.
Legislator Ronk, address the committee. You cannot address individual legislators.
On the committee, yes, you can, but that's fine. You want
to you know,
show me where in the rules of order it says
that. I don't care, because it's disrespectful to the rest of us. Talk to the committee about your what you guys... And it goes, same goes true for Dave and everybody
else. The hell with it. Whatever.
Let's head on.
The point that I don't feel I have enough clarity on this issue is who holds the lien. If we have a law that says we're not doing retroactive, but we have a lien that says if somebody, you know, that we then have to make them whole. It's confusing to me. If this 10-year example of someone who paid their county taxes, paid their school taxes, but then didn't pay their local taxes.
What about a mortgage? There's a lien on it for a mortgage.
Well,
we don't make whole mortgages. I mean, once they make a decision to join in this, there may have to be little adjustments made. We can't figure everything out, but nobody wanted to go backwards.
Okay.
They want to go
forward. I just want to ensure that the law protects us, the resolution protects us going forward, so that we're not stuck with something. The unintended consequences that we hadn't anticipated. That's all.
Let's sit down.
That's what I'm worried about. Usually they pay, but sometimes they don't. What happens is all.
Let's sit at Bartels.
So, just so I can understand, I'm basically, I feel like I'm following on Legislator Archer's exact concern question, which is coming, we're going back and forth, but when you say, John, that they're all saying not retroactive, does that mean, and can they legally, it's a legal question, can the villages legally sign off on the liens entirely, basically saying, okay, we're going to hand over our books to you, we have properties who haven't paid village taxes in 25 years, when you sell it, all the money is yours, or are they going to come to us and say, we want for those 25 years, we want for these 3 years, we have this, so on and so on.
They have to write off $1 million.
What's wrong with that?
Right. That's what I'm asking. I don't know.
Yeah, but if you make $2 million on it, why not pay them what they
somebody
owe?
Somebody better ask the attorney because he's not allowed to speak by himself.
I want to understand where we're at because you heard TJ in caucus say there's a property that has...
But he was wrong. That property's not even in a village.
I know. You pointed that out. Okay, so, but still, whatever. The point being that...
Former mayor didn't know what
one conversation at a time, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Sorry. Mr. Weiner. Copy.
I think if you read Section 2...
Was there a question asked to him, or is he making...
Yeah, Tracy asked.
If you read Section 2, you read careful, and you read the plain meaning of the words, it's explained fairly simply.
It doesn't explain very simple. I mean, now you're going to say such agreements commence upon the submission.
No, that's not what I'm going to say at all. Explaining. The chairman of the Ulster County Legislature is authorized to enter into agreements.
Right?
At least the one I have said that.
Yeah.
Providing for the collection of tax liens. So it leaves open the possibility that the chairman can enter into an agreement with the town that would cover...
The
village. That would cover the questions that you're asking about. So what could happen is, the chairman could enter into an agreement, and that agreement would be written in such a way that what your concerns are would be covered. That's what old Section 2 says. Section 2 is on specific.
I don't think we were voting. Right, and that's my...
Go ahead. No.
That's my concern.
That could be either bad or good.
That's bad.
It never voted on. Well, it's not bad, because what it says is, if I'm reading it correctly, that the chairman can enter into, if you read this, an individual agreement. So the chairman can enter into an agreement that would protect the county.
Or not. And the chairman could enter...
Then why would you enter into it?
First of all...
Well, I don't know.
Legislator Bartels.
Yeah.
The Commissioner of Finance makes a recommendation to the legislature to either sell the property or not sell it.
And does that
So would...
Not really.
Well, have we ever gone against the recommendation of the county finance person?
I think once.
I think it was once, too. And that was the...
That was Chattahoochee Lake.
So the Commissioner of Finance makes a recommendation, so maybe we should put in there that the financial arrangements have to be done before it comes to us. Their recommendation is going to know. They're going to probably have to waive their liens. They're going to come to a cross share. If somebody owes 8 years of taxes and it's $14,000 or $20,000 and they sell the property and the county makes $200,000, does it really matter if they paid it back $20,000 in taxes?
The village, no.
Who cares? So that if they collect $12,000 and they're owed $17,000, I'm sure the village is going to say, we're probably going to have to eat this one to move forward to have a new owner who's going to start paying the taxes. That's going to trump the money they lost. So my opinion, there's two avenues. There's the Commissioner of Finance, who's going to make a recommendation to us, and then there's the body of 23 people that are either going to agree or disagree with the Commissioner of Finance's recommendation.
They're going to take a look at this when they say
so. There is enough. I mean, what's the policy? I mean, you know, we don't always know how properties are always being sold. I mean, they're not always good situation.
What's the general, do we make money on selling these properties?
No,
or not?
God, no.
Yes, we do. We made $1 million just last year.
We made millions.
Do we make
sales? I guess that depends on how, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to go grab a resolution book real quick for a clarification in a few minutes, but we make the school district's whole every year to the tune of between 22 and
but we bond it. We bond it, so we borrow the money to make the school district's whole. It's not just coming out of our cash account.
No, we don't bond it unless you're talking about revenue and tax anticipation notes that we put out at the beginning of the year anticipating our own revenue and taxes. But I that's not really a bond. It's different, but that's fine.
It's not a bond.
I'll be right back. We don't make
Legislator Roberts, he hasn't spoken, so you got the floor for now.
You know, it was great listening to everybody, but I think we lost sight of what the purpose of this resolution
Setting
is.
The
Set
hearing.
The public hearing. We debated this over and over, and I think we should wait till after we hear public comment, and then we could beat it to death some more. So, Mr. Chair,
we can beat it to death some more.
But my understanding is, if it goes to public comment and we come back and change the law, then we're going to have to put it back to public comment, right?
If it's substantial. If it's substantial.
All right, I just wanted clarity.
That's okay.
And I apologize. I got the amendment to add the words delinquent by Ronk. I didn't get the second. Who seconded to make the amendment to add delinquent real property tax? Okay. Sorry.
And that's also to strike the tax lien language.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in section two.
In the fourth and
third, fourth, the third, yeah,
fifth
I got
paragraphs.
Yeah. I mean, what's the village out? 800,000 right now? Or 980,000?
In that range.
Which? 10 years? Over 10 years, which is what? $98,000 a year. It's in the realm of things, it's not really a lot of money.
It is for them,
but it's not compared to what we're paying. Our tax anticipation ban or whatever is, or TAN is, what, $7 million a year?
So 15.
So what's another 100,000?
We usually put out 15 and 10 every year.
It's another 100,000 months. For
15 million.
No, I'm just saying, for three other municipalities, what's 100,000 or 120,000?
But that's just anticipating the taxes.
Can we call the question?
We have to do the amendment first.
Oh, okay.
On the amendment first.
On the amendment.
To
put Tracy's language in there. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried 6-0. Okay.
On the resolution.
On the resolution setting a public hearing.
Aye.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Carried 6-0. Okay.
But we need to take a look at
number. The next resolution, 157, we're going to put to the end. Because it's a memorializing one, and I'd rather just get to the public hearings.
That's fine.
Resolution number 159, which is setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 3, a local law amending local law number 10 of 2008, to require certain resolutions approving the execution of contracts and contract amendments in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county for public services be supplemented with standardized information upon filing.
What happened to 157?
We're going to do that last. It's memorializing. And Tracy's here. We have a resolution Tracy's going to talk about in a couple minutes, so I want to get to that.
Okay. I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Legislator Archer? No, Legislator Archer.
I know that at one point there was a talk about, I see there was a lot of work to change this. One of the things was to sit down with the finance folks. So did that all occur?
Okay. Well, no. Not a sit down.
Or
what
sharing
of. I'll tell you. Okay. That's what happened. We received a lot of input, both verbally and in writing, from B. I think I spoke to Ken. I spoke to B. We received a model from B of what she thought would be appropriate. That was absolutely taken into consideration. Mm-hmm. We got input from probably more. We got a lot of input from legislators.
And we had said at the one meeting, we postponed it.
Right.
Some legislators
write
a letter, write a note, call him, and everybody who wanted, who was interested in offering their input, got in touch with him.
There's also an edit just a change. I don't think it was intended. On the second page, number six, the county legislature may adopt, amend, instead of adopted, right?
That's a typo.
Just yeah. A typo. But it's in the original one, too. So.
A, 6A.
So it's got to be get rid of
A. Adopt.
Okay, I'm going to let... When Lynn's done, when Legislator Archer's finished.
Yeah, actually, okay, that's in the charter.
Thank you.
Right?
I just want to thank you.
That's charter language.
Said, yeah, I think that's charter language.
And this just came up. This is just the last thing I thought about, and this was just kind of from an HR perspective. We put this piece that said listing the job titles. And with this, because this is all public, are we...
Tell me where we are. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. On the... B, procedure, number B, a list of any kind of position or title being added or eliminated.
Okay.
Now, I know we're talking titles, we're not talking people, but are we creating a level of angst and transparency at a time where they haven't even discussed potential department downsizing? Does it create an HR problem? That's my only question.
Legislator
Archer?
What I'm saying is this
can
stuff
I ask,
goes... Yes.
I understand what you're saying. Can I maybe answer that? And then when you're finished with that.
Okay.
I would think the legislature is not going to get any of this information until the program is released and prior to voting. We're not going to get this information while they're implementing a program or a plan, and all of a sudden somebody's going to say, oh, they're going to cut my job or consolidate it. We're only going to get... the cost benefit, you know, the cost analysis after it's been announced and the program is out there, then it comes to the legislature for approval.
So it's not.
It's going to be public record before. Okay. That's my thought. So,
unless you have a source.
Ken has the floor. Ken has the floor.
Just a simple question. Cursory review. When you're going to go through the list of the supplemental information that we provided, we provide the same exact information for every resolution that we currently file. Yeah, this only requires the information for a very limited set of resolutions. So do you no longer want the information for all of them? I mean, we had thought that if you're going to require specific information, why wouldn't you include all resolutions filed by a legislator? I mean, we currently file every one of these items with a resolution. Every one of these things is already listed in the view.
Well, maybe they should just. Legislator Rock.
I know that one of
when he's done.
Just to finish next time, I know that when we were talking this with the clerk as well, too, we were surprised to learn that the backup that we provide isn't given to every legislator. That they only provide the backup if you're on a particular committee. But again, everything on this list, I went through the filings for the good part of this year, and everything listed here, we already give you. So,
what's the problem?
I wouldn't think you'd want this for every resolution. That's what we provide you.
Let's set a rock in and
Ken, I guess this isn't. I don't want to talk directly to him, but I think that for the most part, there's no problem with what the current county executive does. But we are not here just to talk about the people who are in offices now. We're also looking towards the future. Somebody else who's sitting in that chair someday might not be so loose with information. I would say that absent a complaint from somebody, we'd appreciate it if you'd not stop giving us the information that you give us. Because I personally appreciate it. I appreciate how open you guys have been. You folks have been with me personally, at least. Every time I have a question, I call up, I get it promptly answered. I mean, one of the things that I thought of, and I spoke about this with the county executive a number of times over the last month and a half, 2 months, there was one time that I can remember this year that we voted on something, and I guess this is really terrible to say on tape, we voted on something without information that we had asked for because there was a time sensitivity, and it was the contract for line striping. The legislators had asked for a clarification on cost-benefit of either contracting out for the line striping or doing it in-house, striping the lines on all of our county roads ourselves, buying the equipment, training the men, and getting the paint. Sorry, that totally threw me off. Now, that's okay.
you know, and we didn't have all the information. We had the information the next day, but we had already voted. So that's the only concern to me, is that we make sure that there's enough time for us to ask for the information if we don't have it. And that's never been a problem with you. There's one, I'm not going to say it here, but that's...
But again, everything listed here, we routinely provide. I don't know why you wouldn't want this information with every resolution filed with the legislature.
Okay.
Not just a select few that are delineated here.
Because you people in your office and your side came and told us that that would require that you hire 100,000 people and spend $40 billion.
No, that's not
Mr. Ron.
It was three.
I'm sorry. Mr. Cornell, yes, that's how your reply was. So what we tried to do was we tried at Bee's request and at Mike's request and everybody else's request was to pare this down. We'd appreciate it if you chose not to not give us the backup information on other resolutions, but we were asked to pare this down because we were told that we'd have to hire new people to respond to it.
All right, Cap.
Everything that's listed here.
I was asked about writing of this resolution.
Really don't care.
That's what I'm responding to.
I know. I appreciate that.
You make that clear.
Legislative Bartels.
No problem being rude.
Legislative Bartels.
Can I? It might be naive question, but okay, on page 4 of the law, as amended, you have the supplemental information submissions shall be limited to... next paragraph. Last paragraph from the bottom. Supplemental information submission shall not apply to professional service contracts for independent contractors such as...
Are you on the red line version?
I am, yeah.
There's two versions?
No. She's not on the red line. Oh, she is. But what you read was exactly what it is in the non-redline version.
So I meant to ask before, but why won't it apply to contracts for independent contractors, doctors, engineers,
chairman,
accountants?
This passed Ways and Means.
But that's not an answer to my question.
No, did it pass Ways and Means? That's the question.
No.
Yes, it did. We are here about legality of the issue. And at this point, I think that Ways and Means already vetted this.
They did not vet it.
They didn't talk about it. They just passed it.
If I am counting.
Hold on. Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Counsel, is that our only purpose here as the Laws and Rules Committee? What Legislator Donaldson just said, to only worry about the legality of the local law.
This committee is supposed to vet that. The purpose of this committee is to provide legality. If I may, just what happened was the public hearing was passed, but the Ways and Means Committee was relying at the prompting of Legislator Bartels, if I may relate what happened, at the prompting of Legislator Bartels, asking if this would be vetted, if this particular local law would be vetted in this committee, and Legislator Geraghty had assured her that it would be.
Yeah, I said at Ways and Means. I said I'm going to pass for the public hearing, but I'm expecting we're going to discuss it at this committee, and I'm going to come on Monday to discuss it. So,
I'm not going to speak again.
I'm perfectly fine with vetting it. I'm here to do my job.
Dave, I don't know why.
Mr. Johnson, the problem that is, if something happens that I think I should tell you guys, now I'm not going to do it. So you can, if you walk into a minefield.
Sometimes what happens is you enter into debate.
Okay. I didn't enter into anything.
She was in
Legislative
Bartels has the floor.
Yeah, so, I mean, Dave, you're suggesting that we shouldn't talk about the content of this, but at Ways and Means, I mean, I'm on Ways and Means, and I voted for it to go to a public hearing, but I said I'm assuming it's going to be discussed at Laws and Rules on Monday, and I'm going to be there because I got the email from Cappy saying input, and I saw the changes, and so I thought that we were going to be discussing it here. So that's why I'm asking a question about it.
The input was about 2 weeks ago that I had asked for.
Yeah.
It's a little late now once this is written into the resolution. I had asked for input probably approximately 2 weeks ago.
So no one's going to answer
No, I don't know what your question is. But
I just asked a question, and Dave made it like I can't ask a question.
No, I didn't see you.
What?
You basically said I couldn't ask a question.
No, I'm just saying that we are meeting this the death here, and what my
can someone just answer the question?
Just repeat it for me.
I'm just wondering. It wasn't aired out in Ways and Means. It was just looked at as for the public hearing, which is fine. Then we'll go around. But I'm just asking, why independent contractors, doctors, engineers, accountants, and legal services are left off. It's a point of information question. I'm asking why they're left off.
Why they're left off?
Supplemental. Anything. It says supplemental information submissions will
because
not apply.
The two committees that I was in front of when this was debated asked us to limit, because what they said was if it was every single resolution,
I didn't.
It would
essentially sign below it.
Bankrupt time wise, not money wise. So what we try to do is limit.
Your name is underneath.
Stop, guys. Come on. I don't care about signing the
Tracy's
and
Patrick.
We'd like to limit the amount of contracts.
Who cares?
Confusing you with his line or name, but sorry. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That this would apply to. So there are lots of contracts that are fall within this paragraph.
Right. In this.
That's correct. Here. Yeah. So that was a choice that was made that this would narrow the resolution.
Because one concern I had, and it really goes to, I mean, I could speak directly to the chair since this originated with you, is one thing I heard you talk about was privatization and, when you know, the idea of this, you know, us getting this information, especially as a model in these bigger things, you know, that happen. You and I talked about self-insurance and Golden Hill, and these contracts that apply to professional services for independent contractors could be a way of privatizing something, and then they're left off, they entirely fall out of your original intentions. So
that
I'm not trying to open
true,
a landmine, but I also just feel
I got
like...
Geraldine had a discussion about it. I mean, it could be a $50,000 contract for our council,
but
that is a contract.
Right.
Rather than just the salary, and where are we going to go with it? I mean,
but couldn't it? But when it's a professional service contract, couldn't it be a half a million dollar contract or a $3 million contract for privatizing mental health, and then boom, it falls right out
that's
of our.
But Trace, we still should be asking contract. Questions anyway,
but and I'm have the document. Why wouldn't it? I don't know.
I don't think that would fall.
Legislator Roberts and then Legislator Archer.
That's a little different.
Yeah, Tracy, I had the same point last month when we read it. This, you know, my point was that, you know, it's all right to analyze the guy painting the bridge, but we can't analyze the architect who's designing the bridge. To me, that didn't make any sense.
But just to be clear, I mean, Ken Cornell just clarified that the mental health transition was a professional services contract.
Listen,
the privatization
right.
of mental
if we
health.
Had a hire a psychiatrist,
not apply.
If we had to hire a psychiatrist for $150,000 to do some work, how do you analyze that? He's a guy that's a doctor. He doesn't know how he's going to do anything until you walk in the door.
Legislator Archer, saying happy.
I think the point, though, that was made, and I think it was an important point, is that if the whole intent of this was try to understand the rationale for the transaction and why we were doing something, whether we were privatizing or not, that specific transaction would not apply to this law. And that, I think, is the point that you were trying to get.
I completely disagree with that. But I understand.
Okay.
I certainly understand your concern. But I completely disagree.
So let's take the language out then.
Yeah, I completely disagree with taking away a department would fall under that. But I understand your concern. It is certainly well placed. I understand what you're saying.
As I said, if we had to hire a doctor, how do you get a cost-benefit analysis of a doctor? We pay him $75,000 a year, and he's on call.
But I think, John, it's not about hiring the doctor. It's about either hiring the doctor in-house and keeping him there, or hiring an outside doctor.
But we don't have one in-house.
But we used to.
Well, okay.
Let's say to Ron.
Thank you.
So I would say take it out.
This is going to go back a little ways, but I just want to point a clarification on why we're debating this so in depth here tonight. In speaking with minority counsel, we are the committee of original jurisdiction for this resolution. Ways and Means voted on it as it pertains to the fact that it costs $300 to hold a public hearing.
You shouldn't even go to them.
Yeah, I agree.
Well,
I just
wanted to go back to make that point that that's one of the reasons why we're talking about substantive policy differences in it as well.
And I think that's accurate.
That is accurate.
That's accurate.
It's a financial issue, though. The public hearing, it's not because of the public hearing, because it's a financial issue.
It is, but that's fine. But
this is all I can say is Rich Gerentine and I and others have vetted this, talked about it, discussed it. We ask anybody that have any concerns to wire, call Kathy, Rich, or myself. Tell us what you wanted included or removed or changed. Somewhere along the line, you have to say, okay, now let's move forward, unless it's really substantive.
Do you want to take not out?
I would. I would.
I was just asking a question.
I would suggest that that gets taken out.
Cappy.
That was the intent of that was to narrow the focus of the resolution.
Yes.
Because right. When we first did it, it was really broad. Certainly, no offense was meant to a bridge painter. However, we generally don't. That's a specific line item, I would assume. We don't approve or disapprove bridge painters, legislators, lawyers, et cetera, et cetera. The intent was to narrow it, to narrow the focus.
That's not true. We can most certainly approve approve a bridge painter because I believe we contract out for our bridge painter.
It wouldn't come. No, a specific title, specific person wouldn't come, and you wouldn't approve a specific. Specific person.
Can I make a motion to take
out? That being said, the intent was to narrow the focus because that's what we were asked to do.
I think by the executive actually, because he said we have so many of these contracts with professional people, and it'll just be
the
onerous.
Attorney for the executive had no objection to that. Whether that's here or there.
My take, and I understand that. And I respect what you're saying, John, but I really think, you know, the whole idea, like, for instance, mental health was all professional services. We privatized that, and we really didn't get a real cost-benefit analysis of that. I'm assuming it's working, but we didn't get a full cost-benefit analysis.
You had a special informational session between two committees. Yeah. There was
something. Very good, but it didn't give us all this information.
Yes, it did. And then some.
Can I get another copy of
information?
I have Paula. I mean, the clerk has everything. We did a tour. You were there.
Tomorrow, we'll ask Vicki to get it, what was given to us.
Yeah,
we'll compare it to the resolution, see if it was done.
There was a special meeting.
I know there was a special meeting.
Yeah, but a special meeting is great, but it doesn't mean you've got all the information.
All that wasn't in that. So okay. My take on it is that we should be including that. It should include... because that's the whole idea. Independent contractors is the idea. You're moving from the county doing the vein lining, the line painting, to it being an independent contractor doing it, right?
Something to that effect.
Okay, let's sit around.
I'm actually landing with the chairman here on this one in keeping it as keeping it as it is right now, because there's nothing. There's nothing that precludes us as a body in this law that stops us from being able to ask if something like that comes up. If there's a $3 million privatization of mental health, I believe that we'd
we
be asking
be
for
anyway.
More information on that.
But
I think that is exactly. I mean, and I think legislative counsel can back me up on this. That's what I was asking for, was something that didn't become onerous that we could do upon request. And that's one of the things I think in professional services where you could do it upon request, because we're not going to have questions on everything. And if we're, and I think that might run into the area where they need to bring somebody on to start just, pumping out reports upon reports instead of, we might have questions. We might have further questions than what we're asking, honestly. So.
Goes to the whole point of this. I mean, if you don't have enough information to vote, you shouldn't vote. I mean, it's our obligation to provide whatever you ask.
Well,
can I just say this? We shouldn't have to ask for any information. It should be available.
Right.
So we don't have to ask for it. It's nonsensical to say, well, you could ask for it if you want it.
I agree, John, but where do you draw the line? You're drawing the line at the guy who's painting the bridge, but not the guy who's designing it. I don't understand. I mean, why wouldn't you want the information on everything?
Then why even
bother with this resolution?
The professional guy has his degrees, more than a thermometer, and then after that, what are you going to ask him? The structure and the cantilever things?
No, you do an architect service. You put it out to bid. Why did you pick this guy? You know, that might be $10,000 higher.
To bid. It's professional services.
Ken.
Well, that's why. That's
Dave, Ken's got the floor.
I just want to ask him a question. Does everyone in the legislature get all the backup that we provide with the resolution?
Yes.
I don't. All I know is when you farmed out nine jobs in the insurance department, I didn't see one piece of information.
No, what he's asking.
Not one.
Because I, you know, the clerk tells me she gives everybody everything, yet I have legislators telling me they never get anything. I can bring in banker's boxes and put them up on the table. I mean, the backup every month is this thick. I mean, we
folks,
deliver.
The reason our caucus packet was this thick this month is from the backup information. Yeah. It all goes in the caucus packet every month. There was an entire procurement manual in the caucus packet this month.
Okay.
Before there's assertions made that the clerk is not giving out information, yes. I feel like I got to stand here and back her up a little bit.
But we do provide it, and I mean, everything that's listed here, delineated in the bullets, I believe that's what we provide. Pretty much everything that we provide. Mm-hmm.
Who's on first? I call the question.
This is not the issue. The reality is that those packages are labor intensive. Sometimes there, and I learned the first couple times I went through it, there's 18 pages of legalese that's, you know, the same boilerplate that's used in every contract. And it goes back to what I said, which this kind of boils it down into like a couple key components that can get put right on top of it with the backup detail there that just simplifies the process from a legislator's point of view. In looking at a whole pile of information, it would just make it easier. And I think that's the intent of
this. But this isn't what that says.
Well, I disagree. That's what it says.
Well, we'll see. If it passes, then we'll see if it's what it says. If it's not, then we'll look at it and revisit it down the road.
Set the public hearing.
Is there a motion and a second? Any more discussion? All in favor of setting a public hearing?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Carried 6-0. Okay, Resolution 188, reappointing Commissioner of Elections.
I'll move it.
Tom Turco.
No, second. They didn't do Vic?
We're at a different time, I think.
Yeah, I think that it's been weird in years past, Mr. Chairman. Yeah.
Okay.
It's been kind of weird in years past because I called the clerk to ask about this because it seemed like a weird time to do it since his term doesn't end until December. But it seems that over the years the Republicans have done theirs right after the Republican convention where the recommendation is made, and the Democrats seem to wait. Sometimes it differs, but the last time was in December.
The last time,
Years ago,
there have been county chairmen that would not approve a commissioner until after the convention in the fall to give the poor person agita.
Oh, okay.
And then not for me, because it didn't matter to me that much, but we moved it back now because I would like to be here in October and all of a sudden not have a job because you've made somebody angry. So
right, I understand.
What'd you say?
We'll just do it next month.
Yo, I don't care what they do. Whatever.
No, there's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
But Vic was approved.
Anybody opposed? Carried 6-0.
I was just making a comment on when the resolutions were done.
But
that's
I know
all.
Some of them used to do that, to give the guy fits.
Okay, Resolution 191, supporting the passage of New York State Senate bills. No.
You want to do that last, right?
Yeah, I want to do... Tracy, can we do yours?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it? On the back. Do it.
I said ours.
Oh.
Run the committee.
Oh, yeah. Is it that? That's the.
Oh no, no, we're not on that one yet. I'm sorry. Let's go to number 7.
No, we're not on the. We're not on the one.
216.
Yeah, resolution. I'm sorry. I thought it was different than when I saw it. Resolution 216, setting hearing on proposed local law number 5, law known as the Ulster County Best Value Procurement.
Law.
Law.
Where are we at?
I'll move it.
The 216. This one.
Is it? No, I can't speak on it.
Moved by Ron, seconded by.
Oh.
Okay, let's talk about 2 seconds.
This is the procurement piece that we just had the comptroller open on today. Is that the note we just got today?
I didn't get it. I didn't see it.
What did you say?
Didn't Elliot just come out and talk about the
Let's find out.
Of the procurement procedures?
I didn't see anything.
I think
he sent something out today.
He literally sent it out at like 5 o'clock or something. It was...
I didn't. I think that gets automatically sent to spam.
It came from Vicky.
Spam. Did you read it, Legislator Archer?
I didn't get it.
You
a
didn't?
Chance.
Okay. I was wondering what it was in it.
I've just seen it on my way out.
Can I just give my thoughts on this? I would like to not pass it yet. I understand that if there's a local vendor that comes in at a dollar and somebody from California comes in at 99 cents, we should have, by law, we have to choose the person at 99 cents. You know, local people at times should be able to come in lower because their costs are lower. But I would hate to see an Ulster County business be a low bidder in another county and then them lose the job because that county said, well, we're going to go with somebody higher, but they're a friend of a friend, or they're more of a, you know, they're a local business, so therefore we're not going to choose an Ulster County firm. I just think, you know, if it goes by low bid, it should go by low responsible bid. I don't think we should have the option to not go by it, as long as they're responsible and meet the requirements.
Can I just ask a procedural question?
Yeah.
It's kind of the reverse of the previous situation where, as Legislator Ronk brought up, like this was the committee of origin for the other resolution. This Ways and Means is the committee of origin for this resolution?
No, I think it would be us. It's a policy. It's a change to the procurement manual.
No, it says right here, Chairman of the Ways and Means, Rich Gerentine,
Deputy Chairman. Yeah, because for the following. Ways and Means has oversight over purchasing.
Purchasing.
So, in given that, is, I mean, and I think it should be, I mean, everybody should discuss it, but given that in terms of the purview of this committee, is it only to really discuss the legalese?
Right. Well, I
don't know. I'm asking.
No, I think you have a point, but the thing is that it is legalese. Because what you're talking about is idea. In other words, there is a concept that, you know, you go with the lowest bidder.
No, that's a policy. I'm sorry, that's not legalese.
It's not legalese. It's legal. I mean, this is a legal. This is legal.
How long has it been legal?
I mean, there is some question about. Like,
I'd love to see all the backup on it. The laws.
Now, there are. I don't think the idea that we want to.
Can't have enough fun.
Local people, but having said that,
warm down.
In other words, does it open it up for shenanigans, shall we say? You know, Dom put it in, and you know, we like Dom, so, you know, we'll give it to him.
I know, shut up.
Even though he's got shoddy products.
I mean, may I answer something?
I mean, you know what I mean. I mean, it does open it up. It opens it up where, when you're talking lowest bidder, no, there's nothing there. You can't question it.
Okay, Legislator Bartels.
Yeah, then, I mean,
I'm sorry. I was looking at, I meant Legislator Archer, but I'm sorry.
That's all right. From what I understand, and I have not had a chance to review the, I don't know how many ever pages, and then the opinion from Elliot, who actually reviewed the actual change. This is in line with what's already been done at a state level a couple of years ago. And from everything I'm hearing, although I have not seen evidence because I haven't had an opportunity to read the detail, but what they're saying is there's still a very finite process. It's not like you can just say, oh, because they're 1 cent cheaper. There's elements that have to be in the RFP in the beginning before you can make the decision. So it's like you're putting the parameters in ahead of time, not making the decision after the fact that because they're 1 cent more, you can do it. As long as they meet the parameters of the RFP, then my understanding is it's still very finite and it's detailed from.
But they told you that, right?
I have not read that.
Did they put it in writing?
Is an RFP the same as a bid?
No. An RFP, you can choose anybody you want.
That's a negotiation. A bid is a bid.
Like, we didn't go with the lowest auditing firm.
I may be using the wrong term.
I mean,
Legislative
Board. In Ways and Means, I mean, there wasn't an extended discussion about it because there will be a public hearing. But
If you look under requirements, Section 4 requirements, number 1, says when the basis for an award is based upon best value, the director of purchasing and or his designee shall document the evaluation criteria and the process used to make such determination, and that's prior to the
bid going out.
Right. Yeah.
Just seems to me you corrupt the process when you make some poor slob bid on something and then you say, well, we're giving it to him even though you were lower than him because he's a local yokel.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's value. I mean, especially coming from an environmental perspective. I like local and I think local, but sometimes, John, the bid, a giant company could win the bid by $1, and meanwhile, the impact on the environment on trucking, if we're talking about.
Well, there's a lot of if-fighters in this world, but I mean, that was like out in New Paltz a few years ago, 10, 15 years ago. The school went out to bid on apples, and an outfit that was getting apples from Washington knocked the socks off the local guy. Mm-hmm. Now, how can that be when the local guy doesn't have the transportation costs? Okay. And yet it was a big brouhaha. It's, you
John,
know,
John,
local
John,
preference is almost,
I mean,
it used to be unconstitutional to say, we'll give it to you because you live around here.
Right.
Because there are certain benefits you have over the outside guy. Let me ask you a question. Would that include Lowe's versus Williams Lumber? If Williams Lumber bid and they're a local firm and Lowe's is out here and they're a national firm, we give it to Williams because they're
it would have to be documented. I mean, and we'll see what
legislative Archer and can't. Legislative Archer.
Yeah, and all I'm saying is, you know, is that just because they could do it cheaper in Washington, to use your apples example, you know, sometimes the cost of maintenance is different.
Maybe they charge too much,
or they're a bigger operation and can absorb and can be more competitive. That happens. A smaller business, margins are thinner. It's not as cut and dry as all.
You know, let's set it wrong.
I'll give you an example where this policy might come into effect. Let's say we go out to bid for supplying blacktop. Normally, when you supply blacktop, you send the county trucks to go get the blacktop and bring it back to Ulster
That's
County.
Specs,
usually,
then.
It's not delivered. Right, that'd be the specs. Correct. Let's say one place has one place that you can pick up the blacktop, and the other place has three places. All right, and you're sending the trucks, but the one place is close to Hurley, but it's not close to Shongum or Warsing. But the other guy has three separate depots, one of which is in the south, one that's in the center, and one that's in the north. You're going to spend more money sending those trucks to Hurley to get the blacktop everywhere.
But that's the specs you do.
But you're not bidding out the cost of sending your truck.
You should
there.
Be. If you're doing your bidding and you want to do it in Shongum, you do your bidding in Shongum.
That's fine. That's fine though if you're having it delivered. Because you can charge for the cost if you're having it delivered. You can't charge them for having you pick up the blacktop.
The RRA bought a truck from a local firm. A few years ago, which was cheaper than the state bid, and they got written up in the auditor's report, even though the state bid was more expensive. I mean, so where are they going with this thing?
They didn't have
a written procedure.
But
if you see
the
cost on the state bid,
thing.
And somebody gives it to you cheaper,
I mean,
why should you have to go out for bid?
We don't care about rhetorically. We don't care about the taxpayers, so it costs us more. I just think there's a lot of unanswered questions that maybe the guy ought to be down here and give us the law, the documents, how long it's been in effect.
Yeah,
some lawsuits.
I'm
that
not
have
supporting
been
this tonight.
Solved. I don't know.
I know. I'd also like to see something with campaign contributions going here. People can't be eligible if they've given campaign contributions to county officials. You can't be eligible to get an award. To get anything under, you can't be eligible.
Yes, do you want me to go get it?
Yep.
Absolutely.
He's going to bring out the ethics law.
Yeah,
it's
in
the
ethics
law.
It says exactly.
I'm not saying it has any effect, but it's already in the ethics law. It's very broad.
Well, I'd like to put it in this law. If anybody has
it,
gave any county contributions.
All right, let's
But again, back to that, I mean, is this the committee of jurisdiction for discussing content versus legal? I mean, otherwise, this can you go back to that question?
Well, but legal, Tracy, you bring up points that, well, what about changing this and what about changing that? If it's legal, I guess we have to accept that. And it's legal. But we don't have to accept that it's a good idea.
Right, but I'm talking, John, and about this committee, whether this committee
can it be
is
abused?
Committee.
Could it be abused?
Yeah, I'm not supporting it tonight.
I'm
voting no, and I'd like to maybe make some changes for next month or talk to Cappy.
Table it.
Well, to just take no action for this one? Or if we can vote, maybe
well,
it'll pass.
But it could invite or maybe for more robust conversation.
Yes,
let's
yes.
invite Mark, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
To come to the meeting and talk
right.
to us about
okay.
I think that's...
I mean, and not to knock Mark, but Mark's only been here for a month. So he's there 1 month, and we're coming up with a new law.
Well, and I
why
think
had
we
this
should
not
take
come out in the
to
past?
Look at Elliot's piece, too, because
yeah.
he
what
audited it.
Oh, I haven't.
What did he say?
I think he audited it.
All
right, so... just came out today?
No, I don't.
With the big document.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
I
don't know. I didn't see it. The thing with the big document.
I didn't see the document. I just saw it. I
saw
the name.
Is you all right with taking a letter? Is everybody all right with waiting a month? This isn't
is
life
that
or
the
death.
Motion?
Yeah. It's not life or death.
So we have a motion to postpone.
Motion to postpone until
next month?
Ken, are you all right with that, Lynn? Are you?
I'll agree with that. Let's have them, and as Lynn said.
And can we invite Mark next month?
Describe it, explain
like
these things.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And I'm going to maybe see, I'll talk to Cappy about language about no firm that gave campaign contributions.
But again, does that mean that this committee then can weigh in on like
it's got to pass both committees.
Should
no, I know, but. But in my understanding of this committee, and that's why I remember
right.
Dave years ago talking about this committee having tremendous power, because my understanding of this committee was that this committee,
right.
unless it's an originating idea in this committee,
but,
was
know,
just discussing
we can send
legal.
It back
but
for,
you know what, Trace,
we can send it back to the original committee, though.
For
that's
legal,
what we could do.
For can
legal,
I make, I understand,
not for like, oh, we don't like this.
Trace, but technically...
Right? I mean, that's otherwise this committee...
But technically... The Ways and Means and us should have equal jurisdiction because they oversee purchasing, but we oversee local laws.
But that would mean any local law. That would mean an environment.
Right. Every local law comes through this committee.
I know,
well, it's
but
also
it's supposed
policy.
To come here for it's supposed to come here for legalese, not for content. That means that the Laws and
oh,
Rules Committee could can an environmental law.
But the Ways and Means does it all the
but
time.
But they can do it anyway. You know, Ways and Means does it all the
time.
It passes
wait,
committee and then they
you
go to
talked
down.
About it. Ways and
it
Means, I think,
ways
has things shouldn't there's things that shouldn't go to Ways and Means.
Right.
They say no.
Certainly shouldn't go to Ways and Means over $300 for advertising.
Right.
That's crazy.
You know,
and
if you're
going to
do that, then
that
memorializing resolutions could go because staff is making copies and are using.
Right.
You think
that,
so?
But that's
so
something this committee has to change.
No,
I mean,
you're right. You're
for
right.
Sure. But I just think I have concerns, and again, and I raised the concerns when Legislator Roberts was chair, and when you're now with you chair, and in both cases, I'd say you're very fair. Chair, you're both very fair chair people, but I have great concerns about this committee having potentially a chair that's not so fair, and this committee being able to be the final say on every local law's content, especially now given the rules that it has to pass out of each committee.
No.
It's not, I mean, it's not
right.
really supposed to be coming here for content.
But it is
so
a law, a rule. That's what the name of this thing
I know,
is,
but
isn't
that's
it? Laws and rules?
Yeah, but
I know.
Not, yeah.
But at the end of the day, where people are still allowed to vote how they want.
I know, but it can't. But not now, because it's not. If it, when it gets fails in this committee, it's not going to the floor.
Right, but I'm
just petition at discharge.
It's contradictory.
All right. Well, let's get more information.
Yeah.
We already voted.
Yeah.
So we haven't. Have we voted?
No, we didn't vote.
We're
taking no
action. On the resolution to postpone.
We'll ask Mark to come next month.
We make a motion to table this
until
next month.
We have it. That's been made and seconded.
All in favor? I think everybody voted unanimous, didn't we? Didn't we vote? Yeah, it was 6-0.
Okay,
let's do Tracy's. Thanks for being patient, Tracy. Setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 6 of 2014. Local law to establish a sustainable energy loan program in the County of Ulster to be held Tuesday, July 15th. Tracy, you want
to? Well, I just want to tell, I mean, I actually really came to talk about the other things, but I'm glad to be here for this.
And Ken and I are on this.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, I know Ken's not thrilled, but just to let everyone know, this caucus, July's caucus, there will be a special informational meeting where the representatives from EIC are going to come and give a presentation.
I don't have to come.
Right? This will be your third. Come and give a presentation to the full legislature and
I'm expecting and hoping that that'll be a presentation where from the legislature they'll be able to take questions. There'll be a back and forth. They'll give their presentation.
It's got to be a special informational session, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because we've had issues with that in the past. It has to be noticed if both caucuses are there because joint caucuses are
illegal. No, it will be a special informational session. And we did it. We decided for caucus day just because we saw most legislators would be there on caucus day, so it would be the best,
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. Comes to meeting
did you ever get the question answered about
together?
The villages?
Yes, they're included, they but are. The city's not included.
The city's not, okay, cool.
So legislators will have a chance to have their questions answered, and then the public hearing would be on session day, which would be July 15th. And if legislators have real concerns or it comes back from public hearing that there's concerns that need to be addressed, then it would obviously go back to committee and be changed. For those who don't already know, this law passed as written in Orange County. It's also the EIC is based in Westchester County. It's in Westchester.
Does legislator Archer, are you familiar with this?
So again, it's just setting the public hearing.
Yeah, no, I think this is a great program. So we got a motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. No, I didn't know if you were going to second it. Legislator Roberts seconded it.
I know. On the resolution, this tests my prohibition on voting against public hearings because it's the proposal frightens me for a number of reasons. Number one. And I feel like I have to raise this now before we even get past the public hearing. Number one, I have met with these people on three separate occasions and have asked for the same documentation on three separate occasions and have not received it.
What was the documentation?
The documentation is, I believe that if we enter into this program and loans are given under this program, it would be subject to the tax cap. Because the way this works is, the loans are given out, and then we essentially become the biller for the LDC, and we bill on the tax bill. And I believe that those dollars that go on the tax bill are subject to the tax cap.
I'm glad
and
you
he
brought
says,
it up again.
We've got a letter from the state comptroller's office. And every time he goes back to Westchester, and the letter from the state comptroller's office never comes north to Ulster County.
I'll get the call on about that.
So,
I haven't brought it up.
I mean, it's frightening to me because the guy seems really on the ball. Mm-hmm. So, methinks that there's no letter from the comptroller sitting around in a drawer. You know what I mean?
This isn't exclusive, is it? Another guy could come to town with the same program.
This is exclusive at the current time.
It's exclusive, and my understanding is it's exclusive in the contract. But the contract, when you look at the contract gives us the out at any time. So the legislature is supposed to go out.
Albany State. To use the name of it, could came in with a program that, in essence, it would not be allowed unless the legislature voted.
Right, we change it
to allow it.
Same thing if the county wanted to do its own.
Well, you know, when he was here, somebody asked him, "Is do you have a monopoly on this?" He said, "There's nobody else in the business," is what he said.
There is nobody else.
But that's not an answer. He didn't say, yes, we do.
Well, if there's nobody else in the business,
says,
that's an answer.
He says there's nobody else in the
yes,
business.
Yes, they are. They are.
And, on your urging, I called Ron Leonard. He called me back, and Ron Leonard said there is no one else doing this. He was concerned about the possibility.
Okay.
If someone else, if the county wanted to do their own, which we'd not only, we'd have to have the cap, you know, we'd have to have the capital and create the structure and create something like
we'd
an
We'd have
IDA.
To hire six new people.
But if we wanted to do that, we would... If we got to the point of passing that and we wanted to do our own, we would rescind this.
I'd like to move forward on this.
Okay, let's Senator Donaldson, then let's
we can't talk about it?
I
thought you were just...
The major issue is what you're talking about.
One of my two major issues.
I will get that. I will call him on that.
What's the other one?
Okay, Legislator Ronk.
The other issue is that it's an untested product that we're signing on to. They've not had a deal yet. They've not done a single deal. It's been in existence for, what, 2-3 years, something like that, in Westchester County?
Westchester. Orange County just signed, and there's 60 in the pipeline.
In the pipeline, yeah. Somewhere. Whatever that means, I don't know.
Every program started in its infancy, so...
And that's wonderful, but since the LDC was created by Westchester County, I think that...
They haven't done one in Orange County?
They haven't done one in Orange County. They haven't done one in any of the towns in Westchester that are members of the LDC. They've not done a deal yet. And that concerns me that we're getting into something that's untested.
Well, then why vote against it if you don't have to worry about it?
Exactly. It solves your first problem.
I'm supporting the public hearing, but I will not support the local.
Call the question.
I really would like that information.
A fair question.
I will get that.
That's real substantive stuff.
I'll get it.
I assume our attorneys.
Yeah, every once in a while you do come up with something.
All in favor?
Even a broken clock's wrong, right twice a day, so.
That's right. Let's
stop the
clock. Carried 6-0. Thank you, Tracy. Legislator Bortels. Okay. Now we're going to do.
Yes.
No, that's going to be the last. We're going to do that one.
What the hell? Everybody else's local law is then memorializing resolutions?
Setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 7 to modify various provisions of the county charter and amend the terms of the U.S. county legislature.
Yeah, you're right. I completely. 223. We've been so inundated with local laws, I completely forgot this.
I know, I was like,
Well, I'm a no. Okay, do we have a motion?
Surprise.
I'll move it.
We have a motion second. By Legislator Roberts, a second by Legislator Rom. Okay, any discussion?
What number is this?
223.
Proposed local law number 7.
Last one in the packet. Legislator Ronk has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is something I've been thinking about for a few years now, and I finally decided was the right time to put forward to bring it to the legislature. I really, truly believe that a 4-year term is going to provide the people with better representation. I think that, and I think, you know, I hate to speak for people, other people, but for me personally, I'll speak to my experience as a legislator. It takes a while to get up to speed with with not just the nuances, but also the departments and everything else. It takes a while to get up to speed. I would say between a year and a year and a half to really understand the things that you need to understand to be a really high-functioning legislator, if that's what your goal is to become here. It takes a little while.
Years and years.
Exactly. But... If you're a legislator for 2 years and it takes a year to get up to speed, and then the second year you're running, you're really not doing a service to your as much of a service to your constituents as I believe you could be doing with a 4-year term. And that having been said, I don't think that people should be legislators for 20 years. I don't think that I think that after a while you become part of the problem with government and not instead of part of the solution. And so I think that a 4-year term, and this is written with 16 years. I would be more comfortable with 12. I think that three 4-year terms is sufficient to do what your constituents send you to Kingston to do. Otherwise, maybe it's time for somebody else to step up and take a turn.
Okay, Legislator Bortels first, and then Legislator
Donaldson. In general, I agree with the resolution. I also think, to me, it's not just about freshman legislators. It's about changing of the guard when there's new players, new chairs. Also during election time, I feel like there is some, not downtime, but I feel like a 4-year term, we could be really functional within. Two comments, Ken.
Yep.
One I talked to you about on the phone.
Yes.
In B, the idea of staggering the terms, not speaking to the odd or even numbered years, just the idea of staggered, I have mixed feelings about, because we're in a town where the town board members are staggered.
Yeah.
Everyone in the town is voting for those members. This is staggering specific districts, and I kind of like the idea of potentially, if there's a terrible legislature, being able to clean house if the public so deems it. Although, as I was speaking to Ken on the phone about it, it brought up one caveat of a problem, and now I'm blanking on what it was. But somehow we talked about I came around to the other side of that discussion because I realized that there could be a circumstance
If the whole legislature got reelected for three separate terms, then you'd have a complete upending of the legislature when they were all termed out.
So that was my one, which I hadn't thought about until I was.
Which is an unlikely circumstance,
but it's in your law. Could happen.
No, not the way he has it written, because they're staggered. But then my one other comment, which I really would like to see changed, is Section 2C, no person shall serve as a county legislator for more than 16 consecutive years. I'm a supporter of term limits, and it doesn't mean, I think you could be a great legislator for 25 years. I believe in term limits. But I don't like this, I don't like the way it's worded, whether it's 16
or 12. I don't like it
12. Either. I think it needs to say 3 or 4 full terms, just like the president, because otherwise you could be a legislator and make a decision. Okay, I'm gonna, the way it's worded right now is 16. I serve 3 terms, and then I'm not gonna run this term, and then the next term I can run. It's not 16 consecutive terms because I just took 4 years off. I think it should be 3 full term, 3 or if it's 16, it should say 4 full terms.
Is that legal?
Yeah, I mean, the president can't serve for 2
as president,
why
it's constitutional.
It goes into the charter.
Yeah,
I didn't talk to you.
Go ahead.
Senator Johnson.
Well, as part of the problem, I feel there's a number of things that are problematic with this. For one, the staggered terms I am totally against, because my take on it is that the legislative body comes up for an election, and what it would do is actually, if half of them come up one time and half of them come up another time, there's nothing that really drives people to go to the polls. Because in some cases, they're not even voting for something. In other words, I think it would affect voter turnout. But having said that, I also feel that it should be able to throw everybody out at once, not have to take 8 years to do it, if you're using yours. I don't agree with 4-year terms. And not that I agree with 2-year terms on the congressional level, because I agree it probably should change the Constitution for that. But in this case here, you know what? I'm still learning county government, and I've been here for 20. So despite what you may think, you learn little nuances that you never understood before at some point or another. And I can say that when somebody calls me up and asks me a question, I can point it to the right direction. And having said that, in other words, seniority does mean something. And not only that, I don't agree with the idea that all of a sudden, the voters aren't allowed to elect this particular person. Now, it's not going to affect me because of the way you have it set up. I'll be gone before, if we did pass, I'll be gone long before that. But the point is that, institutional knowledge can be very important. And so, like I said, I disagree with 4-year terms. You don't need them. And the idea that somebody's running for office after the first year, that's ridiculous, because that's not what happens here. We're local officials. We're not running congressional campaigns or state campaigns. We're local people. I talk to my constituents on a regular basis. I walk amongst those streets. They know me personally.
Apparently, congressmen don't. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have butted. I'm sorry.
Well, congressmen aren't going to be doing that because of the size of their district. I mean, it's pretty tough for a congressman to be in all places at all times. I mean, I'm just saying that in a way, Congress is tough. I mean, when you think of they're going back to their constituents, that's tough on them.
700,000.
It's not tough on us.
We have 8,000. They have 700,000.
Right, right. I have 8,000 people.
They're 1,000 times larger than us.
They don't think that I'm doing a good job, then they should throw me the hell out. I don't have Franken privileges like they do in the state or the federal government. I can't send out literature saying that I'm doing this wonderful job and I'm doing this and doing that. I have no ability to do that. They either know I'm doing it or they don't, and they can throw me out as easy as anyone. So I don't agree with the idea of term limits, particularly at a local level. And this is basically local level.
Legislator Archer.
And before I finish, let me finish. I'm almost done. So basically, I'm against the entire resolution. There's really nothing in there that
I would
agree.
Okay.
Legislator Archer.
Just for helping me, was this looked at when the charter changed?
I believe it was. Some legislators had made a recommendation to the charter committee, and they rejected it.
And do we know why?
The answer is
they
no.
No
legislator ever recommended 4-year terms.
No.
When the original charter came through
five or six years ago?
She's asking about the Charter Revision Commission.
Or the original charter. I just assume when they made up.
Or either one.
That's what I mean. I believe 8 years, six, 7 years ago, it was brought up.
He didn't bring
the original,
talk about
the original charter. It was Benjamin that said that he didn't think that the public should wait for it. The public would have the right. They're their own term limits.
Right, but didn't somebody propose 4 years? They proposed weighted voting, they proposed districts, and they proposed 4 years. There were multiple. There was weighted voting was proposed.
That was, weighted voting was proposed during the redistricting commission.
All right, but over time, they've had different proposals.
One thing on the 4 years, how would that affect on reapportionment?
It wouldn't.
I mean, every 10 years you have, a new...
Yes, it would.
Yes, it would, because that's 12.
Yes, it would.
You did it.
I'm going to speak.
You're right.
I'm just going to say I'm opposed to this right now, Ken, Legislator Ronk. If I believe, like in towns, every 2 years, the voters can make change. So if we went to 4 years, then the executive should go to 2 years. I think the voters should not have to have a same body for 4 years without making changes. So of the power structure. So.
Well, to that, wouldn't the executive be an off year? Do you know what I mean? If we didn't have the staggered years, the executive, you would make changes because every 2 years
the executive is an odd year.
Right, the executive.
So we would do even years.
Right, or whatever. Yeah, whatever. I think you'd want to place it off, but
shouldn't they all run the same time?
But they do right now.
They do right now.
Every 4 years, they run.
Right, shouldn't they always do
the
that?
Executive, we run at the same
otherwise,
time as the executive.
Yes. Every 4 years. Next time, we'll be up with the executive in 2 years.
Oh, so we're every
next
other
year.
Year.
Yes.
Next year.
What I would suggest in that, to your point, because I think it's a good one then, is I think the more I think about these staggered terms, the more I don't like them.
I've got it crossed off on my paper already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kenny, up until that, I was prepared to vote for at least a public hearing.
Because,
hold on, though.
Wait, can I finish my comment?
Yeah, go.
Because the other thing that I hadn't thought about until Dave talked was that it's highly unfair for those who are on with the presidential and those who aren't. In terms of turnout, we know that those are radically different turnouts.
But we would never be in the presidential.
It would always be an odd year.
It would always be an odd year.
Well, just remember something, though.
We'd
Greene County,
yeah.
The legislators run in...
Not the way it's written.
The way I intended it, not the way it's written.
I'm removing this.
That was my first. The second. If you're taking it out, then we don't have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Tom, do you have a question?
If you're taking it out.
Oh, no, I just wanted to.
If you're taking it out, then I would suggest that it's off. It's set on an off from the executive, to Rich's point. You know, so that the executive's election year is not the same year as
why
the
not?
Legislatures,
why
to Rich's point of being able to change the body, the same way supervisors are off from town
changing
boards.
The body, you're changing the executive.
No, Dave.
No.
Dave.
But anyway, that was to Rich's point.
Dave,
and then
right now, if let's finish and then I'll explain it.
Okay. And then, why don't you explain it since it's on the point?
Dave, right now, if the executive and the legislature were all elected the same year, we had four year terms. In one, two, and three years, no change to county government could be made unless somebody resigned, died, whatever. If you did the executive, say, in 2000, and then the legislature in 2002 and did 4 years terms from there, every 2 years you could change the power. The executive would be 2004, we'd be 2006. Executive 2008, we'd be 2010.
And then the last thing to the reapportionment issue, and it's an uninformed answer, but just putting the point out there, Orange County has 4 year terms, so
but not staggered.
But at one time, you would have
maybe not staggered.
One voter would vote for two different legislators because they're in different.
That couldn't happen.
Mm-hmm. It would happen.
You
with
had
this.
Staggered terms.
No, you sure. Can't have. You can't have. You only get one vote.
It gets
complicated. 1 year, you would vote for this person because he'd be your legislator. The next year, you wouldn't be in that person's district.
Right, but that happens now with 2 year terms, too, in redistricting.
Yeah.
No, yeah. The way it's... Yeah, that is something that has to be thought out.
It's timing.
Well, 2 years later, I bought the people of Olive. I represented them for 10 years, and in the next election, I was gone.
No, but Tom's point is that the reapportionment in our charter is timed differently. We'd have to take... The reapportionment right now is timed, taking into account the 2 years' terms.
Right, so but we could pass this and pass the term limits and work on that afterwards. We could, because reapportionment's not going to happen next year, John. Reapportionment's not going to happen until 2021.
If census of 2020 and 2002
All right, Legislator Roberts.
Yeah, I think taking the apportionment part of this into it doesn't, is irrelevant, because whenever the elections are held, that's you do the apportionment before that election, whether it's in 18 or 22. That's when it takes effect. As for stagger, and I'm dead set against that, I could live with 2 year terms and term limits if that's the way you want to go, Ken, if that would make the
I'm very specific. May I just real quick? I make an amendment.
Motion to amendment.
I move that we make an I would like to make a motion to amend the local law that would remove
Section B.
It's your law, buddy.
Oh, I got it. I've got multiple things written down here. The information in bold for those in odd. I would section 1B and remove from the word for until the word years. Everything that's in bold in our copies here. And that would remove the staggering, and I would like to amend the section 2C to read 12, and it would read, no person shall serve as a county legislator for more than 12 years. And it removes the word consecutive as well. That way, they could serve 3 4-year terms, or they could serve any part of those terms until the 12 years are up.
Oh, someone has a second, and then can I make a...
I'd like to... I guess you can second if we got debate the amendment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to second it?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Right. We're getting on 2 hours. I don't like meetings over 2 hours.
Yeah,
everybody knows.
So to your second amendment, the 12 years, I would suggest still, if you're going down to 12 years, I would still suggest... then it would be 3 full terms. And the reason is, if someone, just like the president, if someone were appointed to fill a position, or someone, filled a slot on the fourth year, say a legislator had to leave, and someone took that slot for 1 year, you'd want them, I think, to be able to have the opportunity to serve 3 full terms in terms of the term limit, okay, I got elected.
Why don't you wait until your notice? Why don't you wait until you've been doing this all night, Dave? Why don't you wait until you're called upon?
You have to.
No, every time I turn, I raise my hand, jackass.
Let's start a parody.
First of all, 16-12 sounds to me like the dartboard method is in effect here. Oh, it's 11 and a half. Throw it again. I mean, your resolution says 16, then you say 12. I don't know what the rationale is for it. Public hearings are great.
I can answer that if you want.
Well, let me finish.
Okay.
By and large, I like the government to be able to be changed. I said this the other night. Every 2 years, you can change this government.
Yep.
With 4-year terms, you can't. You have to wait 4 years to change the government. It's beyond me why we, in a little constituency like we have to have some job security where our congressmen don't, our assemblymen don't, our senators don't. I can't quite figure why we need job security so we can, this is the thing, we can be honest with ourselves. We don't have to run for re-election. I'll vote for something and let the chips fall where they may. Who the heck cares? On top of that, term limits. I said in my speech, well, maybe we need term limits, and I could live with them, except I have a problem letting a group of people or whomever tell me I can't vote for you anymore, even though I like you, and I think you're doing a good job. And some group of people have said, we don't care. Mr. Ronk is a good legislator and a good person. He's done. There's something intrinsically and inherently wrong with that. And you say, well, we get stale. Not necessarily, unless you want to be stale. I Ken, if you had come up with this and said, let's limit the executive's term to 2 terms and eliminate, you know, and keep ours at 16 years or 20 years or 10 terms or whatever, then I could say, well, you know, maybe we need a transition in government. But, you know, one thing when you shorten terms, now, you haven't shortened it to 5 years or 3 years, but you know what? When you don't have experienced legislators, the bureaucracy runs the government. You don't have enough information. They run everything you do. By the time you figure out what the hell's going on, your time is up, and they own you. So I will certainly probably vote for a public hearing, Ken.
That's fine.
But man alive, I just don't... If you had maybe come up truthfully now, just...
Go for it.
Here or across the street... A real comprehensive thing to change everything. I might have, you know, then you got to bob and weave a little bit. But
yeah, what? Let's say Donaldson's got his hands up for
you. You know, and like I said, and as Tom pointed out, the public has term limits. We don't have Frank in print here.
I don't think Tom pointed that out. I think John pointed that out.
Tom pointed out, that's what Benjamin pointed out.
I didn't mention the word Frank.
But having said that, no matter how we do this, if we did it, these two issues would be separated on the ballot. They cannot go as one issue. So what will end up happening?
Yes, they can.
No, they cannot.
Yes, they can.
You only can talk to one issue on that ballot. I'm telling you, they can't.
No, that's incorrect.
Say something about that. When we did have a ballot issue referendum that enabled us all to get here in single-seat districts, there were two issues. One was reducing the size, which I wish you had put in there, to reduce it to 17 or 20 or 19 or 21. But on the ballot was reducing the size of the legislature from 33 to 23.
Right.
The second one was single seat districts.
That's right.
They didn't combine them both. Now,
that was a decision.
The rest of the questions.
That was a decision.
We were made decisions.
I think, truthfully, I think I was told to, but I can't.
Issues.
I mean, God, that was 3 lifetimes
ago. Can I make a
ago.
Suggestion, Ken, Legislator Ronk? Could we maybe put this off and come up with a comprehensive? So if legislators get stale, could county attorney, county clerks get stale? Could sheriffs get stale? Could comptrollers get stale? I mean, why just say legislators? Let's look at everybody elected in the county. Legislator Ronk.
As it relates to...
I'm next, for sure. That's fine.
I like legislator.
Would you like?
No, that's fine. I've had a lot of assertions
made.
You've
been
made
talking
I have to a lot to, so I'm trying to think.
All I would say is at the end of the day, it is up to the constituents to determine how long someone is in office and whether they're going to make it the next go around. I don't think it. I am not a proponent of term limits.
Mr. Cantor just found that out.
I think it's up to the voters. That's their choice. Mm-hmm. That is the thing, the decision they get to make about whether we're doing the job or we're not doing the job. So in that, from that regard, I can appreciate the 4-year term as a new legislator, but I also, I'm not wedded to the fact that it has to be a 4-year term. I mean, I'm 2 years, that's what it takes.
Let's hit it wrong.
Thank you.
Brother Senator Bartels? No, I'm kidding.
Now, I have to try to remember, because I wasn't taking notes on all the things that were said that I feel like I have to respond to. The one thing that I really have to respond to was the dartboard method. In my minority address, I said 12 years.
Okay.
I wrote this with 16 years for a very specific purpose. When you are entering into negotiations, you aim high to get what you want. So that's
well, I can live with that.
That's what I did here. I aimed high to get what I want.
You should have done.
I figured if I did 12 years, somebody might say, "Well, how about 8?"
Should start at 24 years.
Yeah,
you really were a good negotiator.
Nonetheless, maybe I'm not that good of a negotiator. That having been said, I believe in 4-year terms for legislative bodies. That includes Congress. That includes our legislature. That includes the state legislature.
Let's do memorializing.
I don't aspire, and this is something that I've had a lot of discussions with over the years with people, just you know, over a cup of coffee or whatnot. I don't aspire to the flush the toilet mentality, where people want to flush the toilet every 2 years. Everybody wants to, you know, every 2 years you want to upend the government, because it could be on a specific.
You don't have to. You're allowed to.
We're not here to do a job. You in a hurry?
We're beating a dead horse. Too much legislative work to do. We got two memorializing resolutions to go.
Too much work to do. We got to leave.
It's counterproductive after an hour and a half.
So we have an.
Well, then leave, Dave. No one's bolting into your chair.
Yeah. What about the amendment?
Yeah, we still have the amendment on the floor.
What was the amendment?
Well, want me to say it again? Rich has to go.
I don't have to go.
Give it to us. I forgot.
We're removing staggering and changing the term from 16 to 12, and I move to remove the consecutive. I think that if you want to do it, Legislative Bartels had indicated that she wanted to do it as no person shall serve as a county legislator for more than 3 full terms. I'm fine with that.
However, the presidential one's worded. I don't remember, but you know what I'm saying. Can you tell me?
I have it right here.
Yeah, thank you.
Hold on.
Is there a second on his?
He had a second.
The Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States.
That's correct.
As soon as it downloads, I'll read it.
And if I could just finish my comments, I and to what Legislator Roberts and it started with Chairman Parity said, I don't agree with doing it all as one comprehensive plan because I think that everything's different. I don't know that I've thought enough about what the term limit should be for the county executive to be able to render a thoughtful and engaged opinion because I'm not the county executive right now. Nor do I know what the responsibilities and what you lose if you upend the county. I don't know without really, really thinking about it, or the comptroller, or the sheriff, or anybody else. Having experienced being a county legislator for 6 years, now in my 7th year, this is what I believe would best serve the voters and the constituents.
You don't have to convince us of that, of your sincerity.
Can Cappy first read what he found?
Cappy.
No person shall be elected to the office of the president more than twice, comma, and no person who has held the office of president or acted as president, comma, for more than 2 years of a term to which some other person was elected president shall be elected to the office of the president more than once. Want me to read the rest of it? No.
No.
Want to leave it at 12 years?
Okay.
Okay.
There's a motion and a second. Kevin, you want us to wait for you?
But can I? My one last.
We got to vote.
It'll be a quick comment too, because
very quick.
I'm with John in that I'm not sure if it's going to end up having to go as 2 separate issues. If it goes, if it's not a full charter amendment package, if it's just this, but
it's going to fail. The voters.
But I also that's what I want to say. It's like remember that this if it passes will go to the voters, and. I mean, you're saying you think it's going to fail, but I think voters have strong sentiments towards term limits.
They have what?
Oh, term limits could pass. The 2 to 4 years would fail.
Would you put them in the climate today? Do you believe in a death penalty? Make it automatic?
It is one ballot question.
I wouldn't put that on a ballot. I'd rather say myself. I'm against the death penalty, even if everybody.
Okay, let's go. Okay. Legislator Rock's amendment, all in favor?
That's right to put it on.
Aye. He just read it.
Go 12 or whatever.
To remove the staggering and make it
16 to 12.
All in favor.
Unstaggered.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Aye. 3-3. It failed.
Oh, look at
the
that.
The amendment failed.
The amendment failed. Now on the resolution. All in favor of Legislator Ronk's resolution?
How can I not be in favor of term limits?
Hold on. May I respectfully suggest that there will be a petition to discharge coming from this, and we might want amended the correct way rather than the petition to discharge being on the incorrect way with staggered terms in 16 years? Maybe somebody wants to reconsider their vote on the amendment?
Why don't you at least separate?
Just a wild suggestion.
You can do that.
I don't want to separate the issues. I very specifically want them to be one issue.
But they're not going to be. Right.
They are. The ballot question. No.
That's not what I meant. I meant everyone at this table agreed with the staggered, with changing the staggered. The term limit thing seemed to be more controversial. I feel like you'd get the staggered amendment.
They voted. He said they voted. Nobody wants to change their mind.
I don't want to change my vote.
It's not. It's not
maybe in the future I could support it, but it's just
fine. There's a lot going on.
Okay, on the resolution.
On the public hearing.
Well, that's the resolution. Setting a public hearing. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
I mean, how would I
everybody in favor?
I don't think this is well.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'll vote for him.
Opposed?
I said I'd vote for
3-3.
Okay, are we done for tonight?
No. But here's one other thing. We got two more resolutions. But I would like to see if we could maybe hold off on them, and I'll just tell you why. I'm going to read both resolutions.
Mr. Chair, I got to go.
Okay. Go home safe. I'll see you tomorrow. Here's the good night. Thanks, Reese. Here's the resolutions. The first one is calling on the Ulster County Senate and Assembly delegation to introduce and ensure the passage of state legislation to require the state to take over the total expense associated with elections, conducting elections. That's one resolution. The other one is...
We're doing them together?
I just want to read them both. The other one is supporting the passage of New York State Senate Bill 7622 and an act to amend the election law in relation to requiring the state to assume the cost of purchasing ballots for elections and primaries. Now, if we're going to send two memorialized resolutions, one saying just pay for our ballots, and the other one saying please pay for everything, our assemblymen and senators are going to go, what are you guys doing? You got one resolution saying just give us a few dollars. You got another resolution saying give us the full boat. I mean, I think we should only...
I'm a no on both.
We should only pass one of them. I'm sorry.
Huh?
I'm going to be a no on both.
So it's either been moved or it's been moved.
Oh, has been a motion? Do we have a motion?
To discuss either one?
Well, which one? We'll sorry. Discuss
yeah, the I'll make the motion.
Okay.
Which one?
We'll do the first one. We'll do Resolution 157. That's to take over the entire
course. All right, as I said before.
Do we have a second for that?
I'll second. Whatever. The local, this is done locally, these elections. My concern is if the state actually did take them over, they would then control where the sites would be. Because, if I want to save money, then I'll just cut down on the sites. Right? If I want to save money, well, we'll only have one bowling place in the city of Kingston. Or we'll only have one bowling place to share between Olive and Shandaken. So... I mean, it's locally done. I disagree with that aspect of it. They do give us most of the money to run it. So,
listen, first of all...
And it's not going to happen.
We have to answer. The state's going to do this? Now, Ulster County spends $2.37, but I didn't know it was going to come up tonight, per vote. New York City, which has about 66 to 68 assembly districts, we have 1.25 or so, spends $8 a vote. And they budget, let's see, that's $65 million a year they spend. And they have budgeted for more. Now, who's going to pay for this if they throw all this stuff in a hat and say who's going to... We don't know if it's going to be on income taxes. First of all, it's not going to happen. If this gets to the floor, I'm going to amend it to say that if it doesn't pass the legislature, that Ulster County will take over the election costs. I said that last time, and I'll amend it if it gets to the floor. Who's going to pay for this? New York City spends a bloody fortune per vote. And we're going to wind if this piece of legislation somehow passed... Ulster County is in the top tier in income.
That's a good point.
It's going to come to us.
Let's say the bills.
That's a good point. I'm a no on this resolution.
part of the reason is because I know John's going to amend it to say we take it over if the state doesn't, and I know the state's not going to. But that having been said, I also know that the next... I have reason to believe that the next thing that we are going to... the next gun to be put to our head to renew the 1% temporary sales tax that's been renewed every two years for 20 years... is going to be that we take over elections costs, because that's just the next thing.
Now let's preempt them.
No, that's all right. Because
there's a motion and a second.
Right in the middle. Okay.
Well, because you're talking about something different.
No, I'm not.
You're talking about preempting the sales tax. You're talking about preempting a 1% sales tax.
Excuse me.
It's getting late.
Chairman has ruled it not germane.
I'm a no.
Okay, all in favor? Opposed right now? Okay, 05. And the resolution, let's finish this up, 191, supporting the passage of New York State bill.
It's a one-house bill, no companion bill.
That's just assume paying for the ballots.
It's a one-house bill, no companion bill.
Do
we have a motion to...
Well,
just let it die.
We could, you know what, if Pete wants to talk about it and Jeanette, they can come back next month to talk
to
us.
First of all, they shouldn't be putting
two different bills in regarding elections that are asked for two different things.
Well, and I put one in 2 months ago regarding the two primaries.
And that passed though, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And where has it gone?
But that's a different...
We have two primaries. No, but it's still getting them to pay.
Pass this around?
Right.
It is a different issue because we're trying to get people to agree at least to one day.
They're not going to pay for it.
And they're not going to agree to one day.
191 wasn't even moved, right?
Yeah.
No motion.
But I mean...
There was no motion.
Put it over your shoulders at sunset. That is pretty incredible.
So that
I mean, but this problem.
You know what? We should be putting two resolutions in there.
It's our own thing, and we should be putting it for tomorrow's account, not the town.
I'll be putting that legislation in myself. You know what we should do is pass a resolution asking the state
to take over all the county's operations
and just get rid of the county government, like they do in a lot of states. There is no county governments; their towns run everything. Mm-hmm. The state passes down to the town. There's no middle person.
That one failed.
It's just
We have a motion to adjourn by Donaldson.
Second by me. All in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Make sure you sign the resolutions before you go.
It's about getting the budget, right?